about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All the coordinates are set. It's now or never.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Okay, all right, that ended, and so now it's us.
Yes.
It's us.
Sorry,
man,
eating.
Full mouth.
Hey, that ended. That one is over as well. That ended, and then it's not coming back either. That's the way these songs work, man. They don't just trail. They just end. They're done. Song pretty much over right there. That song ended. That ended. So now we're going to talk. That's over. That is over. I think that's pretty much over. There we go. Okay, just want to make sure it ended.
I don't know. I want every bit of that song.
What's happening?
That's all.
What? We're on?
Uh-huh, we're on.
This is too early for me.
You don't even need me to say anything. That says it all.
And now.
I whip my hair back and forth. I whip my hair back and forth. What a stupid song. Willow Smith. What did you do?
Our feature presentation.
You know what else is weird about that is that Willow Smith goes by Willow. She doesn't go by Willow Smith. I don't know if you've noticed that.
I didn't know.
Yep.
She's just a one-namer.
She's a one-name artist.
How old is she?
11. Six.
I think she may be 12 now, actually.
Just Willow.
Willow. Well,
not
I
Willow
mean,
Smith.
She can get away with it because there's not another famous Willow,
you right?
Know, a la Britney or Christina. I mean, there are some names you can pull that off.
But Britney and Christina both started with first and last name.
They did.
And then
yes,
once they became an artist, they dropped the
that's
last
true.
Name.
Yeah. Do you think this was her attempt to make it look as if she wasn't capitalizing on the famous family name? And
maybe,
that's why
yeah.
she decided to do that?
Maybe it's just like, hey, everybody, I'm not doing this just because my dad's famous.
Yeah, right. Any 11-year-old can get a record deal without a
well,
famous
but
parent.
In her defense, she whips her hair back.
Modicum of talent.
And then she whips it forth.
Also, she has kind of a cool name. I mean, it's not like she's just Jane. I mean, her name's Willow.
Right.
You can kind of pull off just Willow when you have like the...
I know, but isn't there just a handful of one-name artists? Really?
Yeah.
Just
oh,
a
yeah,
handful.
Yeah, and they're big-timers. Madonna,
yeah.
Seal.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't really... I
wonder if that song would have been a hit if she hadn't been Will Smith's daughter.
Like, if that exact same song was made by Rihanna or something, you think...
I can tell you that it was a hit because she's Will Smith's daughter, and it
really?
Would have been hit if she, I think, if she had... any other connections. But if she was somebody who had no connections and couldn't get involved in the music industry, it isn't good enough that it would have made it in. It had to have
right.
the door
so
open
too.
For it.
Yeah, yeah. I think I agree with you.
But Willow. F you.
Let me give you two interesting stories involving the TSA that are in the news this week. One is, I don't know if you've been following the guy. He's from Seattle, by the way. His trial just concluded this week. He was being charged with 4 misdemeanors, disorderly conduct, concealing his identity, refusing to obey a police officer, and criminal trespassing. What happened was he's a
that
software
sounds like
developer.
What I do a lot.
He's a software developer who was traveling through an airport in New Mexico, I want to say. And he decided he was going to film his TSA search.
Right.
And the TSA asked him to stop filming. And he said, hey, is there a problem with using a camera, you know, in a publicly accessible area in the airport? And the TSA said, you should put it down, sir. And he said, no, I prefer not to. And then the TSA said, put it down. And he said, can I get your name? And then he wouldn't give he wouldn't show the TSA his ID. He said, you don't have any right to ask me for my ID.
Wait a minute.
So
was he going to fly?
He was going to fly. He'd already been through the part where he showed ID. Now he was just getting the pat down.
I see
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you could argue whether he was in the right on that, but this is what he decided to do, and it apparently got very, very contentious.
Yeah.
And the jury came back this week and said he was acquitted on all counts.
What?
That he was allowed to film his search and that he didn't have to show those people his ID. So I thought that was interesting because, you know, a lot of people have said, you know, we're in the interest of what they claim is security and safety. We do turn over a lot of what used to be, you know, private information.
Agreed.
And body searches to the TSA in order to fly.
Agreed. And a lot of that really is just show. It isn't really helping us. But
right.
You'd think when it comes down to will against will, TSA wins.
Right. And that's what's going on with many of us is we just throw our hands up in the air, not like we just don't care, but because we realize we're not going to win because it's
right.
more important for us to make that flight and to go about our business rather than squabble with a guy who's working the TSA in the airport.
But but he sounds like he went there to cause trouble, like he wanted to make a scene. doesn't it?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what preceded him deciding to film The Search. I don't know whether he was already having trouble or he didn't like the way they were handling it or treating him or whatnot.
Oh, they were handling it. You know?
But I only bring that story up to follow it up with our friend, former governor of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura, who is back in the news, by the way, because he is suing the TSA, saying that all of the pat-downs are warrantless and suspicionless. He's against the scans and the body searches. Apparently, he has just had enough of course, he's also crazy. Let's remember
he
that.
He is really crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, he crazy. And by the way, I just saw a photo of him this week. I had not seen him since he started growing his hair out again. Remember, he used to be the slick, you know, good-looking bald guy.
Oh, right.
Now he's got, like, crazy long homeless hair guy.
All right. I like
so it. So he's starting to look more and more like the Unabomber now. Anyway, apparently the governor got a hip replacement back in 2008, and now he sets off metal detectors every single time he goes through.
Right.
So he always has to either have the personal search or the, you know, the handheld wand or something like that.
I request that. That's good stuff right there.
He says the pat-down exposes him to humiliation and degradation through unwanted touching, groping, and rubbing of the intimate areas of his body. Now, this is going to go to court, and I guess at some point they'll have to make a ruling on this. I don't think he looks at it that way.
Huh?
I don't think, but I mean, look, lots of people feel that way. This is the first guy I've seen, and maybe it's only in the news because he's high profile, but this is the first guy I've seen who's actually going to sue them for it and say that it's, you know, unconstitutional, which is what he's claiming.
Look, this is all fine, and that may happen, and that might be the law and everything else. They might change the rules and all that, but as soon as there's another terrorist attack.
Exactly.
Everyone's going to panic enough that, you know what, it's just going to go right back
and
to the way it was.
And then blame them.
And this argument of unconstitutional really needs to die because...
Well, unreasonable search and seizure is something that you can interpret any way you want. I mean, it has a pretty broad... It could potentially have a broad meaning.
I like that the idea of questioning the Constitution should die.
No. I'm not talking about questioning...
the interpretation of the Constitution.
I'm not talking about questioning using the Constitution or whether or not the Constitution should be questioned. That's not my thing. It's only the radicals on both sides that are always like, well, this is unconstitutional for them to search me at the airport. Yeah, well, when the Founding Fathers were writing the Constitution... There was no airport with giant planes flying through the air that could be used as weapons and dudes setting off metal detectors with metal in their body. Like, this was all such a foreign concept. You can't just sit around and throw around the fact that it's unconstitutional. I mean, if you're setting off metal detectors because of you have metal hips, like, I mean, you just got to kind of throw...
down.
Yeah, it's just the way life is. And Jesse Ventura is not the guy to start writing rules because, like being said, crazy hair, turquoise jewelry... Okay,
right there. Yeah.
Love it.
And he's white guy
love
who
it.
Wear dresses like an Indian now.
Love it.
Like that's the number one sign of you're off the grid.
I know
you've gone bye bye.
He's my hero.
Yeah,
I love people who've gone bye bye.
It is funny though, by the way, that again now we think of him as the former governor of Minnesota, but let's remember he's a WWF wrestler, you know, who used to wrestle with a feather boa and everything, and now he's suing because somebody touches his body.
Yeah,
yeah, that is a weird, really good point.
He used to be a professional wrestler, and now a guy in a uniform in public at an airport gets too close, and now he wants to take him to court.
But don't you forget, I was also a Navy SEAL, so let me tell you about the real conspiracy.
That's a pretty good impression. By the way. Anyway, so we'll keep you posted on that, but that's what's going on in the wonderful world of the TSA.
See, that's the difference between me. I don't even think about that. For a while, I had a pin in my ankle because they had a fixed pin or some kind of metal in my ankle because they had fixed it because I broke it. And it went off and set it off every single time. And you just go, oh, I just need to leave an extra 5 minutes to get patted down.
My stepdad has a pacemaker, and he has like a note, but he still has to go through the privately be searched.
It is. It has gotten much more thorough. You
know what I mean? It sounds like you're pleased with that development.
Got a lot better. Those have gotten so much better.
Flies every week. I don't know why.
Now I'm asking my doctor to put anything metal back in my body so that I can demand it.
And I think it's time to switch it up, by the way, a little bit. Make it a little bit more exciting with opposite sex searches.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right?
Maybe that's the problem. We're just not making it fun enough for everyone.
Exactly. Yeah, because not everyone is a lesbian or a homosexual. Well, Mix it up for the majority of people, and they might enjoy it a little
bit.
You
should have your choice.
That's true.
That's a great idea.
And they should hire for looks.
So let's say you're going through the airport and you're gay, you're a guy. You should have the option of having a guy pat you down. You're heterosexual,
sure.
You should have the option of having a girl pat you
down. Like a masseuse.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. If you're a girl and you're a lesbian, you should have a girl.
Right.
You know,
I like
others, same thing. Heterosexual, you know, guy, whatever.
I like
it. And they should also have like 10 of each sex standing by and you get to pick the one you want.
Supermodel.
So you get your type.
Standing in a line. Supermodel standing in a line. You just point.
Well, Once again, we've got the answer.
Come on, why does no one listen? All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
Babies come out of the butt, right?
Are we going to talk about that? No. Okay.
And that's not part of today's show.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Interesting question,
nonetheless. We have a brand new internet roundup for you, which we love doing. This is a kind of a grouping of all of our favorite videos online. And we're going to do that today. We will introduce you to some new stuff. We have from the Winter X Games, Gretchen Bleidler. She is a snowboarder.
Have you seen her?
Yes, I don't have a belt. Do you know what she looks like? Yes, I have.
All right. We're talking to her today. We're talking to her for as long as we can about as many things as we can.
I have seen her.
Okay, good.
So that's on today's Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk to the hosts of Attack of the Show, Kevin Pereira and Candace Bailey.
Okay.
Is that for Kevin or Candace?
That's for Candace. It's hotness today on the Kevin and Bean Show.
It is. Skins.
Oh, yeah.
Controversial show on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty hot last night, wasn't it?
Good episode, right?
Yeah, sort of like it. I thought it was a great episode. Especially when you start off with lesbian love. That was good. I mean, come on. Psycho Mike was on The Bachelor last night. And that's as troubling to us as it is to you. So we got some highlights of that as well. We're going to spin the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Very exciting. And we're going to talk to Lars Ulrich from Metallica. And make... never mind. We're just going to talk to him.
That's all. Just going to talk to him about chat.
Just stuff. Talk to him about stuff.
Nothing in particular.
So that's coming up as well. We will take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. And that's next.
Hey, party people. Tuesday. Thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show. Not just any Tuesday, Ralph. The most exciting Tuesday of the year if you happen to be an actor or actress or screenwriter or producer or director.
Why are you making that noise?
I don't know. Bean's got me all worked up.
All right. <Yeah.
laughs> What's going on, Argar?
Well, this morning, just moments ago, they announced the nominations for the 83rd Annual Academy Awards. The Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts, and Sciences every year gives away a big... golden dildo to people who...
I don't think it's a dildo.
I think it's a person. I'm pretty sure it's what it is.
No?
Yeah, look at it. It's nice and smooth. No jagged edges.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's just waiting for lube.
I'm not saying it couldn't be used that way. I don't think that's the intention.
Anyway, here are your nominees for Outstanding Achievement in Motion Pictures this year. Let's start with the supporting categories, shall we? Best Supporting Actress in a Motion Picture, Amy Adams for her performance in The Fighter. I thought she was very good. She was great. Melissa Leo, my co-star from Red State, nominated as well for The Fighter. Congratulations to Melissa. Haley Steinfeld. This was the award I was most excited about and hoped it would come true. She plays little Maddie Ross in True Grit.
She's so great.
14-year-old actress who blew me away in True Grit, which is a great film. And she is really the whole film. She carries the film on her shoulders. It's remarkable for a young actress to do that. Helen Bonham Carter for The King's Speech. She is amazing in that film as well.
She's ugly. Right?
No, she's not.
Yeah, she is.
Wow. She's ugly. She's fun.
She's not ugly. She is...
They made her kind of plain in the movie.
She is unique. She has a unique...
She has a unique fugness.
Beauty to her, but I think she is...
Fug.
Interesting looking and fascinating and lovely and talented.
Hmm.
And Jackie Weaver, powerful Jackie Weaver for Animal Kingdom. Thank God that got nominated.
Now, what's that one, Ralph?
Yeah, I've never heard of
that. Animal Kingdom surprised me.
Is an Australian crime drama. You all right, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm good. All good.
You look like you wanted to whisper something to me into the microphone. That's what you were just leaning over to do for a moment there.
Very good. All good.
Yes, and apparently she is quite the well-known actress down under, and she is nominated for an Oscar this year for a film which I've heard is good, but I have not seen it even in a theater near me.
So. No, me neither. That's what confused me. Animal Kingdom, I'm like, what?
Perhaps it will get...
What were you like?
What?
Wider distribution now that she has been nominated, but congratulations to all those lovely ladies on their nominations. Best Supporting Actor, Christian Bale for The Fighter. John Hawkes for Winter's Bone.
Bone. It says bone in the title. It's like sex.
You guys remember that movie? I don't know what that is.
I remember seeing it around, but I didn't go to it. May check it out now. Jeremy Renner for The Town. He's great in that.
He is great in that.
Mark Ruffalo for The Kids Are All Right. And Jeffrey Rush in The King's Speech. Man, I loved that movie. I loved that movie a lot.
Yeah.
Best Actress in a film. Annette Bening for The Kids Are All Right. Nicole Kidman for Rabbit Hole?
Yeah.
Nope. Jennifer Lawrence for Winter's Bone? Michelle Williams for the hilarious Blue Valentine? And Natalie Portman for her performance in Black Swan?
There you go.
Yeah, it's not best pants, there Kevin. It's go. Not the hottest ass. It's actually an acting award.
So. She acted her ass off.
Kevin is sad that No Strings Attached was ineligible for this Oscar category.
No, sadly, it's released
next
too late.
Year.
Next year. Best actor, Javier Bardem for Beautiful.
Now, that's a surprise to me.
Well, the Academy loves Javi.
Yeah.
They throw him a winter's bone there. Jesse Eisenberg for The Social Network. Colin Firth in The King's Speech. James Franco for 127 Hours. And Jeff Bridges, mother effers.
There you go.
For True Grit.
All right.
Pretty big talk for a one-eyed fat man. My favorite lines in
know
movies.
The Rock for the Tooth Fairy?
Know the Rock for the Tooth
come
Fairy.
Come on now.
I think the Tooth Fairy came out about 3 years ago, too, Kevin. Oh. So he may not be eligible. Maybe Faster. Maybe he was rolling Faster, he could have been nominated for.
Okay, all right. Everything he's in, I think, is great.
Best Director, Darren Aronofsky for The Black Swan, which I think really was the strongest performance in that film, was the direction. Really, he did a brilliant job.
Yeah, I think so, too.
He's amazing. He's an amazing director.
David O. Russell for The Fighter. Tom Hooper for The King's Speech. Another brilliant job of directing. David Fincher for Social Network. And the Coens for True Grit. Congratulations to those guys. Best Animated Picture, How to Train Your Dragon.
Didn't see that one.
The Illusionist. And Toy Story. Three nominees this year for Best Animated Picture.
I wonder
which
one will win.
Yeah. Toy Story. By the way, double dip in here, also nominated for Best Picture. Once again, 10 nominees for Best Picture for the Oscars this year. They've changed the category to from top 5 nominees to 10 nominees. Black Swan, also included in that list. The Fighter. Inception. First time Inception's popped up the whole nominations, by the way.
Shocking.
You know, that was the
really
front runner for a long time
it
after
was,
that
yeah.
movie came out. They were saying Oscar, Oscar, Oscar.
That was the best movie I saw in 2010, I'll tell you that.
Did you see The King's Speech?
I did. I thought Inception was better.
Oh, I thought The King's Speech
see,
was amazing.
Yogi Bear?
In terms of acting, I thought The King's Speech was better.
Screenplay and direction and everything.
The Spy Next Door?
True Grit? See True Grit?
True Grit was great, too.
I didn't see True Grit.
And then Bite It!
I just said
bite
the best
it,
film
I
that I saw in 2010.
I'll bite it.
Well, that's not much of a category, Bean.
It's not the Bean Awards.
Only the ones you saw.
Kids Are All Right. Also nominated at The King's Speech.
That was great,
Speech.
Too.
It was. And Mark Ruffalo is awesome.
127 Hours. The Social Network. Toy Story 3, as I mentioned, is also nominated. True Grit and Winter's Bone. There are your nominees for Best Picture for the 83rd Annual Academy Awards. You can watch them along with me February the 7th. Sunday, February 7th, 5 p.m. locally here in Los Angeles and 8 on the East Coast. So, cool. Some good nominees this year.
Sure.
It's nothing, nothing I'm putting my nose up at, that's for sure. Except maybe, Nicole Kidman in Rabbit Hole.
Was she bad in that?
Yeah. It's just, the movie's a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
But they love her. The Academy loves her.
It's a shame that something like Toy Story 3 has no chance at winning Best Picture because it was the best reviewed movie of 2010 and the biggest box office success of 2010. Universally adored, yet
was it better reviewed than The Social Network?
It was.
Wow.
I think that was
as hard
possible.
As that is to believe,
Yeah, critics, can't really go by that anymore. Yeah. There's just too many critics. That's the problem. Everybody's got a movie blog, and everybody's got a place on the internet to review movies. So when they do all these accumulations of all these reviewers, a lot of them are just dopes.
Yeah, but whoever it is you do care about, believe me, they give Toy Story 3 100% of whatever they could give it. You know,
I mean, what if I don't care about any critics?
Universally adored.
Yeah, what about none of them?
Then what?
Look, Toy Story 3 will nab Best Animated Picture, and it'll be fine. It'll be well-deserved. Speaking of award-winning films, I do want to mention, you might want to circle your calendars, that the DVD Blu-ray release of Sharktopus has been announced. We really haven't talked about that, but March 15th is the date for that, so circle your calendars for Sharktopus. And the reason I bring that up is because my buddy Roger Corman is at it again. Roger Corman, along with the screenwriter for Sharktopus, Michael McLean, and the director of Dino Croc vs. Super Gator, are all teaming up together again for a new sci-fi film. Which I'm very excited about. Piranaconda. Piranaconda! Piranaconda!
I love that so much already.
How great is Piranaconda?
Oh, greatest.
Damn you, Piranaconda! I can see it now.
Wow.
Very excited.
Isn't Mega Python versus Gatorade or whatever that is?
Gatorade, that yes. It's against Gatorade.
Isn't that
fighting
the one
a
that's
bottle of Gatorade
this weekend with Debbie Gibson and Tiffany starring?
It is. It is. Yeah.
I can't wait for that.
Mega Python versus Super Gator or something like
on
that.
On March 15th, we should try and get that guy that was the DJ on the boat. Let's try and get him.
He got killed. He got killed by the shark.
You will not be able to get him. I know the people who represent him. Yeah. He is just booked up that
is
day
he?
Doing phoners and satellite interviews.
Oh, maybe the week before. After.
I think he's going to be throwing copies of the DVD out of a hot air balloon that day. He is booked. He is booked solid that right. day. So you might want to go the day after or before. Oprah Winfrey.
What?
Oprah Winfrey announced a surprise yesterday. She's got a brand new baby sister.
No, and by
not
baby.
Not really a baby sister.
I was going to say.
She's just 9 years younger than Oprah. But it is her half-sister who her mother, Vernita, gave up for adoption back in 1963. Poor Patricia, that's her name, was raised in foster homes after her mother gave away and was never adopted. Led to a not-too-pleasant childhood. She was curious to find out about her real family, so back in 2007, she started researching it, finally tracked down Vernita, and has kept it a secret until last year. The pair apparently reunited over Thanksgiving. This past November was the first time the two met, and Oprah says they're trying to come to grips with this new relationship, but Oprah has found out she's got a sister, a half-sister at least. Apparently, Oprah said she also plans on having her killed so she can't get any hands on her money.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Oprah said that?
Yeah. Well, you know, not in so many words.
Jimmy Kimmel last night said the only decision that needs to be made is whether she wants it in a lump sum or spread out over many years.
An annuity?
Yeah.
I wonder how nervous Gail King was by that news, by the way.
Oh, no. Someone's getting close to my Oprah. Stedman was like, oh, okay.
Who's Oprah?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Legendary blues singer Etta James is 73 years old today. Actress Jennifer Lewis celebrates her 54th birthday. Anna Ortiz from Ugly Betty is 40. And R&B singer Alicia Keys celebrates her 30th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Got a lot of Kevin and Bean shows still ahead, including a highlight or two from Psycho Mike and Dr. Drew's appearance on The Bachelor last night. We'll be talking about Skins on MTV, Internet Roundup on the way, and next hour, the beautiful Gretchen Blyler. Professional snowboarder, don't you know, from the Winter X Games going to be joining us. That's all coming up right here on the Kevin and Bean
Show. That's a lot of show. I have an idea how we can save some time.
Don't need to.
We can just yank this segment and put something good in here instead.
We've actually timed it out perfectly so there's enough time for that and this.
I know you. You've timed. You always time the show out perfectly.
It's our strength.
You're a master of the clock.
That's right.
But I say we could free up a little time here if we just killed this next segment.
No. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Yeah, you love it. Come on now.
It's time Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Come on, sing along, Ralph.
Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Here's what Ralph doesn't seem to understand is the Kevin and Bean Show is all about journalistic integrity, going behind the headlines, bringing our listeners the details of the stories that maybe the mainstream media is missing. We read about these stories and we have follow-up questions and we go the extra mile to get these people and sometimes these animals on the phone to find out what went on.
Here's what you don't understand. If the intro, the musical intro to a segment says, it's going to be pretty bad.
Well, he's on your side.
Maybe you should reconsider doing that segment over and over and over again.
Don't be ridiculous. All right, here's what's on the wheel. We have the Japanese marauding monkeys. We have the Tasmanian devil with cancer. I hope that doesn't land on that. That doesn't sound funny.
Sounds like a bummer.
We have the Norwegian creed-hating wolves. We have the Finnish Hitler mocking dog.
Oh, I hope it lands on that.
We have the sword-winged ancient ninja birds. We have Heidi the cross-eyed possum.
I'm so tired of her.
We have Prince the dog that can't take a hint.
That's where the people moved and left the dog behind,
and it found them. The bird cow fish party in heaven.
Just rip that one right off the wheel. That's never happening.
Hey, you don't know, Ralph. It might land.
It
on
won't
that.
Land on
we
it.
We can't tell.
And the Travis Pastrana defying bear. All right, here we go. Ready? Spin the wheel. Here we go.
Your last chance to put an end to all the madness.
How dare you? This is going to be the best. It's the Norwegian creed hating wolves.
Participate in this.
No, don't leave, Ralph.
This is the best part.
You gotta hear this story. Ralph, don't leave.
This is the best part. All right, look. Walter Ikram is the guy's name. He apparently was walking home from school. He's a 13-year-old, and he thought that he was coming up on some dogs. Mm-hmm. Turns out they weren't dogs. They were wolves, and there were four of them, and they were surrounding him.
Oh, my God.
By the way, if we got any teenagers listening who complain about having to wait at the bus stop in 70-degree weather, this is a 13-year-old who's walking home through the woods in the snow in Norway in the winter, now dodging wolves. Okay, you've got it pretty good.
Now, his mom told him, because he lives there and they have to deal with this, you don't run from wolves because they will chase you. That's just an invitation.
That's their instinct? Okay.
Yeah, so don't run. So what he did was he took the headphones out of his iPod and started playing the song that he was listening to as loud as he could at the wolves, and they turned and ran.
Wow, very effective.
You know the band he was listening to? Creed.
Really?
Yep.
That ought to do it.
He's listening to some Creed. And the wolf said, hell no. And he turned and ran.
We asked producer Alex Delaney, somebody from the story, and I believe we have little Walter Ikram from Norway, 13-year-old schoolboy from Norway, on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show now. Is this Walter?
Hello?
Hello? I'm sorry. Who's this? This is Kevin and Bean Show calling from America.
Oh, how you doing?
We're good.
That's great.
Is this Walter?
No, this is Wolf.
Oh, you're a wolf.
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. We'd rather talk to you anyway.
I thought you might.
I mean, it is the wheel of bad animal voices, so sure, why not, right?
No, it's not the wheel of iPod-carrying boy voices.
No, it's not.
No, that'd be a different wheel.
But we should do that wheel, though. That's
no,
a good
one.
No,
you should not. Okay. You can't even do this wheel.
Okay.
All right, so you've heard this story the way it was presented in the media. Is that accurate, Wolf?
Yes, it's very accurate. I am a Norwegian wolf. And me and two friends were going through minding our own business, and we saw a delicious-looking boy.
Right.
And so we ran to eat him. We were hungry, like the wolf. And so we just simply want to stop and talk to him a little bit,
sure.
And then eat him.
Right.
Okay.
And next thing you know, he's playing horrible sounds at the...
Well, I just heard...
Yeah, listen, that's a bad song. I mean, they have pretty good taste.
I really don't like it. Wow.
Oh, it's incredible, my ears so much. Oh, the music sucks.
It does suck,
we have the same reaction to Creed over here, Wolfie.
And I am not a big music fan. I don't have a huge musical collection.
Right.
I don't have a Wolf iPod. Right. But I know good music from bad music.
Right. What's your favorite music?
I like an old 50s artist named Howling Wolf.
Howling Wolf. Oh, sure. Right.
You remember him.
Should have thought that,
And I don't like it. Creed is horrible music.
Seems my life is gonna change.
Not so good, huh?
So you guys just turned and just ran away and left the little boy alone then.
We'd rather be spayed or neutered.
Yeah, I understand.
Creed. Yeah, and I think lead singer for Creed was also neutered at one point.
Is that right? Scott Sapp, yeah.
Scott Sapp.
That's how he sings so high.
That's right.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
I close my eyes. Begin to pray.
All right, we've all learned a valuable lesson today. By using Creed as a weapon.
Hey, you guys know Willow?
No, we don't.
That's the music.
We don't know Willow.
I whip my fur back and forth. No. I whip my fur back and forth. Play it.
No.
Hey, Willow.
No.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Well, I just heard.
Yeah.
The news.
Who's with me? The wolves are off the phone now. We're fine. The Academy Award nominations came out about an hour ago or so. If you're just joining us and you missed them, Ralph Garman has a recap for you coming up in the Showbiz Beat in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday. Psycho Mike, by the way, is getting entirely too much TV time, if you want my opinion. He is filling in for Regis Philbin on the Regis and Kelly Show this Friday all across this great country of ours with special guests Brooke Shields and Brian Adams.
Wow. How did you land the A-level guests?
Canada's own Brian Adams.
Last night, he and Dr. Drew from Loveline turned up on The Bachelor.
What?
Now, exactly. Yeah.
That's
how did
some
that happen,
time
Michael?
And junk.
What's up?
I don't know how it happened. It just one day out of the blue, the executive producer of Loveline, the beautiful Anne, came to us and said, "Hey, next week The Bachelor, the ABC's The Bachelor's coming in. They're going to film an episode here at Loveline."
Now
and
let me.
He said, "Okay."
Yeah, I was going to say. Mike's answer is always, "All right."
Yeah.
So the part of the I do not watch The Bachelor. I don't know anything about The Bachelor, but I did fast forward to the part where Mike and Dr. Drew popped up on my TV screen last night. And apparently the girls are going out for what they think is going to be a group date. Is that what they do on this show? They go out for group dates and then they also go out for solo dates with the guy,
yeah,
right?
It's an entirely too long show. It's a two-hour mess where you usually one girl gets a solo date and then there's always a group date.
So it's
and
like Flava Flav show, that one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, very, okay. Very similar, except the girls aren't
not
as good. Insane.
Right.
Yeah.
I miss that show.
So the girls think they're going out for an exciting, I don't know what they anticipate they're doing. They're going, you know, they think they're going to the beach or something. Imagine how disappointed they're going to be when they find out they're in for group therapy with Dr. Drew and Mike.
So excited for the group date today. I think it's going to be really cool. We pull up this building. We still have no idea what's going on. Hey! We walk in and we see Brad standing there.
What's up?
By the way, I could never watch this show just for the people involved where the girl says, hey! And then the guy says, what's up? I'm already out.
Right in front of their little sign that says Love Line with Mike and Dr. Drew.
By the way, I hope you enjoyed hearing that because that's one of the last times you'll ever hear a reference to the girls even knowing that Mike is on the show. Because am I right about this?
Oh, yeah.
Boy, are they into Dr. Drew.
There's some love for me right at the beginning. And I'm watching this. I'm like, wow, they sure seem to be mentioning me a lot because I'm not. I don't go into it anticipating that I would be a focus because it's Dr. Drew and he really is the focus of the show and he has credentials and he's qualified.
Right. And he's
and
a
hunk. And I'm me. So, yeah. But Bean's right. It was a complete drop off as if that was a solo show. I mean, like, I just did not exist.
They did the right thing.
Yeah.
Mike was basically there to hold Dr. Drew's headphones. That was his job. So Brad, I guess, is the bachelor. And he's the quitter bachelor, right? He's the guy who didn't pick anybody last time he was on. And then he went to years of therapy, and now he's back. And this time he's serious about love. So he's explaining why the girls are at Love Line.
Obviously, we are in the studios of the famous Love Line radio show. You're about to get to talk to both Dr. Drew and Mike. So you can ask any questions that you may have about me, about what you're looking for, and I'm going to do the same thing. But let's go in the studio, please. I'll be honest. In therapy, I learned to open up. So today I'm hoping to create an environment that these women can really open up to me. The fact that they have a chance to talk to Dr. Drew will allow them to have a safe space, a chance to actually open up and tell me their innermost thoughts and feelings. That's what it's all about.
Okay, now, first of all, I hate The Bachelor.
To him.
First of all, I hate
The Bachelor
him.
Too.
Second of all, I hate the music that they choose to play underneath The Bachelor.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Come on.
Now, at this point, during the filming of this particular segment of The Bachelor, that was real. That was really them just coming in. It wasn't like a setup thing.
Right.
And I'm now behind a glass partition like, oh, that girl's hot. Oh, that one.
How many girls?
There's nine girls.
Nine
last night. And by the way, the way they talk about how this is going to be deep, intensive therapy, they're thinking of Celebrity Rehab,
yeah,
okay?
That's a different show.
The Bachelor is a game show where girls compete against each other to get with a guy that they really don't even like. They just want to win. That's what The Bachelor's about.
It's funny you brought that up, too, because they filmed so much stuff, and it turned into, like, deep, intense therapy. And they didn't really use much of it because that doesn't really fit The Bachelor.
Right.
Like, Dr. Drew started breaking these chicks down.
Right. He told every one of them they were abusing their kids.
It was awesome.
Kid.
That's
his line.
So much crying. There was so much hot, blonde, makeup-running crying.
Wow. Yeah. Nice.
Oh, I want to see that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see what happens next.
My main concern is to know that I'm compatible with one, if not all, of the ladies here. Because if I'm not, I'll walk.
Right.
And I would hope that they would walk, too.
Okay. First of all, he does sound retarded. Alex is right. And second of all, didn't he walk last time? Wasn't that the problem with him? Is that he quit? He quit on the show. Basically, he decided it was a game show and he wasn't there and he wasn't going to find true love. And this time he's threatening to walk. What's up with that?
Well, I didn't find out about I'd never watched The Bachelor before filming this thing. And they gave us like some background on this dude and that he had gotten to the final show on a previous season and then didn't pick either girl.
Right.
I kind of respect that. Like, I was like,
but then why come
back?
Well,
then don't go on the show and especially don't come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is anyone else bothered by the basic premise that they're going on a TV show to find true love?
Yes. That's how people do it these days, Kevin.
I
know. What is wrong with you?
But I mean, that's still absurd, right? Everyone gets that that's absurd.
Kevin.
And again, I'll remind you that more relationships have come out of The Biggest Loser that have lasted than have come out of The Bachelor, and that's a fact. All right. I think we're at the point.
That's a fact.
I don't have very good notes, but I think we're at the point where Psycho Mike jumps in to ask his question, I think.
I wish I could hear what Brad was saying right now. Yeah.
The room that we were supposed to wait in is soundproof, so we can't hear anything.
Some girls are really nervous. Dr. Drew, he asked really tough questions.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Dr. Drew asked tough questions. Yeah. By the way, who's the monkey sitting next to him?
For some girls, it's really hard to open up and talk about their feelings, but this is a once-in-a-lifetime kind of opportunity to really get some good feedback.
All right. There's too much talk about feelings on this show, by the way. All right. Here comes Mike.
Are you guys all physically attracted to Brad?
Mary, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I gotta tell you. Yeah, all right. Come on. That was funny, Mike.
You maximized that 1 second.
Thank you.
Hey, we're having fun, but this is very serious to me.
Nope.
It's a very rare opportunity to sit down with two experts that solve people's problems about love.
Okay, whoa, and by wait, two whoa, experts, whoa, whoa. And by two
time
experts,
out. Time out.
That's laugh out loud
I'm sorry
funny.
Being interrupted, but they were talking about you
yeah.
and yes. Drew?
Yeah.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
Come on.
They were talking about... Dr. Drew and young divorced Psycho Mike, who we're talking about, relationship experts.
Who excels at interpersonal relationships more than I do?
Exactly.
So, if any of these women hold back, I'm going to wonder if they're here for the right reasons. I have a lot of pressure on me because of last time. I want everyone to know I really am here for the right reasons, you know? Never in my life have I cheated on a woman. Never one time, not a single time in my life. Not even as an eighth grade kid did I kiss another girl on the football field.
Have you been cheated on?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Show of hands, who's cheated?
Oh, great question.
Nice.
Psycho Mike.
Nice.
Now, first of all, Brad, the only reason he didn't cheat is because he's dumb and he couldn't get another woman. He's lucky to get the first one.
He didn't have the option.
He didn't have the option.
Right.
Right, exactly. So Psycho Mike jumps in with the, has anyone cheated? Now, tell me what was going through your mind when you threw that question out there, Michael.
I just thought it would be funny. Like, I thought I was hoping it would open up for some interesting conversation and thus make for good TV. And, you know, at first, none of the girls put their hands up.
Oh,
and you're like,
lie.
Come on. Yeah, come
lie.
On.
And this is what I was going to ask you guys. So you're a contestant on The Bachelor, and you're in this situation, and you've been asked the question. Do you admit it if you've cheated because that makes you look more honest and forthcoming, especially based on what Brad just said, which is he really wants to see these girls open up? Or do you make yourself look like a nicer, better person by not admitting to cheating so that you can be superior to those who do admit
well,
it?
Well, that's instinct because they didn't see the question coming, right?
Right.
Right. My instinct, I think, would be to lie. I think right. It would be to try to make myself look the best I could by not raising my hand.
Let's see what happened. They're thinking about it.
Everybody talks about being cheated on. Who has cheated?
They're all kind of looking at each other, looking at the floor.
Should have yelled
at someone going to say anything?
I've cheated before.
Yeah? What led you to do that?
I think I was in college. I was being drunk and stupid. And
well, you should have been in a relationship, it sounds like.
Exactly.
Yeah, you
when
been,
you're in college,
but you didn't
you're
know.
In a relationship,
when you're college,
it's
you don't know.
Volatile. Okay. And if you mess up, it's, well, it's a college relationship, you know?
Yeah. You're right. It's wrong. And it's good that you admitted it.
By the way, this is Psycho Mike on national TV.
You shut up. Wait,
it's wrong, and it's good that you admitted it.
God's honest truth. The funniest part about that, and they didn't show it, and I kept on looking to see if they would. As I'm saying that, I'm like making like I'm taking notes because I'm an expert on
right.
to Dr. Drew, and I'm flashing to the cameraman behind me and Dr. Drew this giant penis I drew.
Yes.
Well, that was my notes. And I'm sitting there telling the girl, "You're right, and that's wrong. You shouldn't do that. Holding up this piece of paper with
what
a giant
surprise.
Penis."
Yeah.
All right, let's see what Brad does with that information after one girl put up her hand and admitted that she cheated.
Stacy admitted that she had cheated before, and that was all about being honest. That's so important to me.
He wins.
Dr. Drew is allowing these women to open up to me more than they would ever open up to me on any other date.
Yeah, it looks pretty deep and pretty intense. All right, so Stacy admits that she cheats, and Brad is major impressed with that. Oh, my God, this is so great that she said that. How do you think the show ended, ladies and gentlemen? Stacy gets sent home. Stacy gets voted off the island.
She's the one that admitted it.
Yeah.
She's the one who admitted it. She's the one who Brad said he was so pleased with.
I love
because
your
she
honesty,
was honest.
But goodbye. Yeah. Yeah.
But goodbye because you're a homewrecking whore.
I don't have any need for authenticity in my life when I need a relationship. I want girls to be fake and lie to me.
I really like that show, that Love Line, with that host, Dr. Drew.
Yeah, yeah,
I think he does
Dr.
good
Drew's
work.
Really good, yeah.
He does good
I
work.
Agree.
And he let him open up and
yep.
he gave him the forum. And
it's a good thing
sure
that he
did.
Has that sidekick that's an expert on relationships.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
She's pretty hot. She's one of the five or six girls
I'm not
in my
saying
top
she's
three.
She's not hot. She's one of the five or six girls in your top three.
It's hard to narrow it down.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Sam.
You are just saying.
That's a good one. He is just saying. All right. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, everybody's talking about the Oscar nominations that were announced this morning at around 5:30 this morning. The Oscars, by the way, airing on February the 27th. You want to check it out on ABC, the 83rd Annual Academy Awards. Here are the big nominations. And for the most part, I think they got it right this year. Let's talk about Best Supporting Actress. Two ladies from The Fighter, Amy Adams and Melissa Leo, both nominated for their roles in The Fighter. Helena Bonham Carter, the King's Speech. She was great in that as the Queen Mum, Queen Elizabeth I. Haley Steinfeld from True Grit. Brilliant performance and well-deserved. 14-year-old actress getting nominated. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no kidding.
Be 14, do your first movie, and then get nominated for an Oscar.
See, I don't know if that's cool or not, because if she's peaking at 14, that's bad. You know what I mean?
Like, well, maybe she's not peaking, Kevin. Maybe this is just the start of her
career.
How
do you do better than get nominated and star and get an Oscar nominee?
I don't know. Ask Jodie Foster.
There's a little actress named Jodie Foster.
All right. One.
For,
most of them,
Taxi
though.
Driver.
I'm just saying. You don't want to peak too early. That's my point.
Saying. Congratulations to Haley Steinfeld. I'm trying to put a positive spin.
All right.
On what is a remarkably positive event in her life. And you are looking for the doom and gloom.
All right. You're right. I take it back.
He's fast-forwarding 20 years to when she's depressed, Ralph, because it hasn't gone as well since she was 14.
Let the girl have her moment.
All right, okay.
God's sakes.
All right.
And the legendary Jackie Weaver for Animal Kingdom. Oh, what a great...
movie?
Group, that
performance?
Is. Animal Kingdom. One of my favorite genuses.
You never heard about it until today, did you, Ralph?
No, I've never heard of it. Best Supporting Actor, Christian Bale. Speaking of The Fighter, John Hawks for Winter's Bone.
Yeah!
Jeremy Renner for The Town, Mark Ruffalo for The Kids Are All Right, and Jeffrey Rush in The King's Speech. Best Actress, Annette Bening for The Kids Are All Right, Nicole Kidman for Rabbit Hole, Jennifer Lawrence for Winter's Bone, Natalie Portman for Black Swan, and Michelle Williams for her role in Blue Valentine. Best Actor, Javier Bardem for Beautiful, Jeff Bridges for True Grit, Jesse Eisenberg for The Social Network, Colin Firth, The King's Speech, and James Franco, 127 Hours. Best Directing, Darren Aronofsky for The Black Swan, David O. Russell for The Fighter, Tom Hooper for The King's Speech. I don't think enough people are giving Tom Hooper credit for his direction in The King's Speech, by the way. He uses the camera in some fascinating ways in that film, which is basically just a three-person play, just a lot of people talking. But the way he moves the camera and sets it up when you're looking through the microphone at Colin Firth and stuff like that, I thought was really impressive.
I didn't notice that. I just knew there was a guy who stuttered. That's it.
There is that, too. Yeah. David Fincher for The Social Network, Joel and Ethan Coen for True Grit. Best Animated Film, there's three nominees this year. How to Train Your Dragon, The Illusionist, and Toy Story 3. Our producer, Alex, by the way, very angry that Despicable Me was left out of that category.
It was a pretty good movie.
It was a very good movie.
Why are there only three in that category?
Yeah, why?
They can put up to five, but sometimes they can just choose what they want.
So they looked at Despicable Me and they just went,
here you go.
Nope.
Here's a finger for you, Mr. Despicable Me.
Yeah.
It's the I'm number one finger. Yeah. Best Picture, by the way, has 10 nominees again this year, which I just think is dumb. But there are a lot of good movies.
It's a lot.
This year, Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, The Kids Are All Right, The King's Speech, 127 Hours, The Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, and Winter's Bone, all nominated this year. So congratulations to all the nominees. Bret Michaels has more health issues. Surprise, surprise. He's got a hole in his heart. No, really. Not an emotional thing. He actually has a hole in his heart.
That seems bad.
He had surgery to repair it yesterday. Doctors found the hole last April when Brett was treated for a brain hemorrhage. If the hole wasn't closed, they said Brett could have had a stroke due to blood clots that could have developed. And last night they said the operation was successful and he's going to be just fine. Brett going back into the hospital, they say, in about 6 months to have that bandana removed from his head.
That's so major surgery.
He's having
there.
A bandanaectomy, and that's, that can be touch and go. So
he's had a lot of trouble the last few years.
Not out of the woods yet.
You think there's too much poison in his life?
Wow.
Hello.
Wow. We heard it. We heard it.
He's in a band called Poison.
File.
Oh, man.
You think rough. We don't get it?
Bean, how quickly can you pull up Taps for me?
I got that for you, sure.
Can you give me a little Taps?
That's his favorite song.
I know. You know, I do love death.
They
so
played this at his wedding. This would be the first song he danced to with his wife. Was Taps. Yeah, tragic news today. Just tragic.
Uh-oh.
What happened?
It's hard to even talk about. Actress, model, and singer Sophie Monk.
Yes?
Is engaged.
No!
How about some bells there, Bean?
Yes.
All right.
Sophie Monk, who is just...
engaged, though. There's still time.
Ridiculously hot.
She is.
She is engaged to an American businessman named Jimmy Essebag. Jimmy Douchebag. More like it. Sophie, who is 31 years old, said she was engaged... She got engaged to her boyfriend at her favorite restaurant. He gave her a ring the size of a chandelier. He is 50 years old.
Oh.
All right.
Jimmy S-Bag is.
Wow.
Or Jimmy D-Bag, as he will be known forever. Yeah, he's 20 years older than she is.
Wow.
He's the chairman of a group called America's Licensing Holding Group. Sounds like a nerdy...
It does.
Company, but what they do is they own rights to brands and logos and images and stuff like that.
I bet
that.
He's not poor if he got Sophie Monk.
Multi-million-dollar business.
Yeah.
For example, he is the licensing guy for Playboy Enterprises, let's say.
Wow, okay.
So if you want to use the rabbit's head logo or something, you got to get a pony up some cash to Jimmy D-Bag, and he slaps that logo on your thing. Yeah, you say potato, I say potato.
Okay.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Alicia Keys. Is 30 years old today. Actress Anna Ortiz of Ugly Betty turns 40. And blues singer Etta James.
At last, my love has come along.
Yeah, this is her last birthday, by the way. She's almost gone.
How dare you,
she's very
sir.
Sick. Very sick.
Yeah, she's sick, dude.
Being so excited.
She's 73 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Dave, the King of Mexico, our sister producer here on the Kevin and Bean Show, has just joined us in studio. Although he prefers to be known by his new name, Kevin, I don't know if you're up to speed with this. He is now the Mexicutioner.
That's
I don't
right.
Know
if you've been not, he's the Mexicutioner.
I'm the Mexicutioner.
He is now the Mexicutioner.
And what did you do to earn that name?
I saw a UFC fighter be called that. I was like, yeah, I want to be called that.
Right, but he got called that because he earned it.
Well, then he lost, so I'll take it now.
All right.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you lose your name if you lose, but all right.
True.
Dave is changing his image now, so now he's no longer the King of Mexico. He's the Mexicutioner. And I'm laughing out
Who's
loud.
Who's the opposite of a Mexicutioner?
I know, right?
Yeah.
I know. I'm laughing out loud because we've all been talking about, although I don't think we've mentioned it much on the air except in Showbiz Beat, this MTV show Skins, a huge, huge, hugely successful British program that has now been brought to the United States and been recast with Americans and Canadians. So it's on MTV. Episode 2 was on last night. And it's gotten all sorts of press, and sponsors have been pulling out because it's so edgy. It's so sexy. There's drugs, and there's drinking, and there's underage sex, and frank dialogue. And that's been what the thing is. So last night, episode 2, they started to expand the characters a little bit. They started to get a little more background, a little deeper, started getting into some emotional issues. I think Dave's ready to chuck it. I think Dave's off now.
What?
Now that it's not just a superficial sex romp. Now all of a sudden they're starting to deal with issues and psyche.
Wait.
All of a sudden, Dave's out.
There was plenty of sex last night.
There was.
In the first 5 minutes, there's some lesbian love. That was good.
That was hot.
So Dave put up a post. You go to kevinandbean.com. You can check it out and you can vote. Is MTV going too far? Because some of the sponsors are dropping. I'll play that audio in just a second. Hell no, the chicks are hot. MTV went too far, and I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have cable. So those are the three options.
All right.
Here's the news story about the show.
Another company has pulled its ads from the controversial new MTV show Skins. H&R Block told TMZ.com its ads will no longer run during Skins, joining GM, Taco Bell, and Wrigley, who've also jumped ship. The show features teenage actors as young as 15 and depicts them using drugs and having sex. A spokesman from Skins tells NBC News, "We're confident that the episodes not only comply with all applicable legal requirements, but also with our responsibilities to our viewers."
I like that.
Okay, most of
we're
the people...
Good. We're good. We like what we're doing.
Most of the people watching this show are young, are 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I wouldn't advertise either if I were H&R Block.
What kind of waste of money
is that, right?
They wouldn't advertise anyway, is what you're saying, right?
What about Taco Bell, though?
Here's my problem with, and this is maybe just my separate issue, but allowing sponsors to decide what goes on the air or not seems troublesome to me.
Yeah.
So it seems like here's the answer. Anybody that drops their ads, you call them and say, no longer buying your product. And then this whole thing will stop where they start dropping out and not advertising in a show and all that BS.
I don't know if I can go without Taco Bell.
Well, that's true.
I love it all
no,
over.
No, you don't have to actually do it. Just threaten it.
Oh.
But I mean, that's how commercial radio and commercial television works, though, is we are sponsored by advertisers. And if advertisers don't want to advertise on this show, believe me, we're gone. And if enough pull out of MTV's skins, it's not going to be on the air anymore either.
Right. That doesn't necessarily mean the show is good or bad or should be pulled or not pulled.
Right.
That's my point.
I think what a lot of people are saying is this show is clearly aimed at a teen viewing audience. If you're going to put it on MTV at 7 o'clock at night, for those of us with DirecTV, 10 o'clock if you've got the cable, then you're going to get teenagers watching it. And there are people like, as Ralph has been reporting on the Showbiz Beat, the Parents Television Council, who are saying, look, this is just – there's a horrible – they say it's the most dangerous show in the history of television, by the way. And I would agree with that.
That's
if the kid lived in a cardboard box with only a TV as its only influence and they thought this is how one is supposed to behave, I might agree with that. But the truth of the matter is that TV is one component of how a kid is raised. And I assume that these kids also have, I don't know, parents, siblings, friends, neighbors. They have other people that they're getting influenced by, right? Not yes. just by whatever's on MTV.
Of course.
Some teenagers are having sex anyway. Just like on Skins. My favorite. Skins. My favorite. Skins. I know that's what I said, Skins.
Skins.
Now, it is, it is different, and we've been talking about this a lot, too. It is different in that you're dealing with actors who are, in many cases, under 18 years old with this kind of behavior, too. It's not like on Glee. You know Finn, the kid who sings on Glee? Yeah. He's 28 years old in real life, playing a high schooler. Okay?
28?
Yeah. He's 28, yeah.
Wow.
The hot lesbian on last night's Skins, Taya, is 18.
All right, she's legal.
Yeah. A lot of her co-stars are, 15, 16, 17 years old, and they're, drinking and smoking and having sex. And I think that's what has gotten a lot of people with their panties in a bunch.
But there are so many movies that you could name where underage actors have done those things. And there's really never an outroar about it.
It really does seem to be okay if it's being used as art. Like if you're doing a movie or a TV show, prostitution's the oldest argument in the book. Prostitution illegal. Film it, perfectly fine.
Right.
Sell
right.
it, make money on it. No problem.
But I think why this is in the crosshairs, to use Sarah Palin's expression, is that it's on MTV, Lisa. It's a lot more accessible to teenagers than most movies because everybody can watch MTV,
right.
Virtually everybody, everybody who has cable. So I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I'm sure MTV is very nervous right now. I'm sure they're having a lot of meetings going, all right, how many sponsors can we afford to lose? And are the ratings going to be so big that other sponsors who don't mind the controversy are going to jump on and make up the income?
Here's a clip from the show where they're talking about getting a guy laid because he's a virgin and he does not want to be a virgin at all.
You finally get Dehymeny. You finally get the VIP tour of Netherland. You finally.
Easy on the finally, all right?
It's embarrassing.
It's totally normal for a kid of 16 not to have had sex.
Embarrassing, man. So we go to a party and we get some girl. We're copiously split up. In her confused state, she comes to believe, however momentarily, of course, that you're attractive. And then she your brains out.
Oh, he's going to get led. Good for him. He's going to get led, finally, because he's a virgin.
And by the way, what's interesting, and for people who, people who latched onto that plot line and complained about it, the kid, that was from last week's episode.
Right.
The kid does go to the party. The girl is high and does pass out and will have sex with him, and he doesn't do it. He decides he's not comfortable, that he's not ready. You don't hear the parents' television council mentioning that, though. They're just the fact that he's in a situation where he's underage and might be having sex, because that never happens in real life. That's what they're
that's
all
what
upset
scares
about.
Me is the parents' television council don't understand what it's like to be 15 to 19.
Right.
I mean, honestly, this is not crazy, out of the ordinary stuff where people are watching and going, I don't recognize this life at all. What kind of
well, they're the same. They're
who's
the
16 and
people.
Going to a party?
The
that's
only,
out of control.
The only thing they want on TV is abstinence. They don't want any naked butts because no one's ever seen that before, even if they're adults. I mean, anything. They're all over, which makes me not want to listen to them about anything.
Oh, I like naked butt.
All I know is the executioner wants to hang out with the people on this show.
Yeah, I do.
That's all I know.
The executioner. I want to hang out with the lesbian.
let's talk to Don real quick, by the way. Don is a teacher and online, too. We really have no time, but she did have an interesting point that I wanted to make sure got on the air. Hi, Don. Thanks for calling in to Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I have two issues, actually. Okay. I'm a teacher, and also my husband is a juvenile probation officer. I don't think a lot of people understand that as a society, the kids that do not have parents that are watching them watch this show, we're the ones that are paying for it. And this is the reason why. Juveniles that are getting busted for drugs and doing all this, we are paying for them to be in juvenile hall because their parents can afford for them to be in juvenile hall. And parents have to pay for them to be in juvenile hall. As a society, we're paying for these girls to get abortions. As a society, we're paying for these girls to have babies. And that's what I think is irresponsible. Look, I'm pretty liberal. I'm totally for lesbians and gays and this and that. I understand something that teenagers see. But as a society, I see it two ways. My pocketbook. And as a mother and a teacher that sees teenagers every day, I think it's irresponsible.
You think it's irresponsible for the network to air the show, you mean? You think it's up to the TV station to dictate what behavior should be like in real life?
No, but I think putting it on at 7 o'clock for everyone to see, I think is irresponsible. I think it's
okay.
Very
well, if they don't have parents, they're up at 10, too.
But let me ask you this, Dawn. They're not putting this show on and saying this is how you should behave. They're putting this show on because it's a valid artistic description of how some teens behave.
I agree. Okay, I don't think that it is the arts that are teaching us. I don't think the art form is teaching us as a society. We know that as adults, that we shouldn't be watching that and saying, okay, this is how we should not act. But at that age, they're developmentally not ready to see that and think to themselves, oh, I don't think we should do that. They're not ready.
Did you see how hot the lesbian chick is?
Yes. That's how hot they are.
Honestly. That's what's important.
That's
here.
Our argument.
And I would do them too.
That's what I'm talking about.
Let's end on that note as we can all agree.
We can all agree on that. Thank you, Dawn. We'll talk to snowboarder Gretchen Blyler coming up about the Winter X Games on the Kevin Amin Show. First, though, it's time for another Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bain's Internet Roundup.
Some of our favorite stuff online. You can go to KevinAmin.com and see an entire list. You can actually watch them from right there. There are some that we can't feature here because they don't have great audio. One is singer smacks guitarist after awful solo. That's kind of funny.
That's pretty awesome.
The guy plays terrible. The guy just hits him in the head. Superman's Dark Secret is funny.
Why can't we play audio from that one?
Because they
throw us up the air?
Yeah. Mark Sanchez wipes a booger on Mark Brunel. Funny.
Yeah.
That happened. Yeah, that was funny. But here are some of the ones. Dave, the King of Mexico, puts these together. And he always...
The Mexicutioner
always insists on putting a cute animal in because I hate cat videos.
Yeah, he's not the Mexicutioner if he's putting in cute animal videos into our roundup,
by the way. That's a good point. But this WTF kitty, this is a really weird, like, don't watch this when you're on acid video. I mean, it's really bizarre. This is the sound of it. And when that scary music kicks in, the cat looks up at you like it's going to just rip you apart. It's one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen.
As if cats aren't bad enough. The cat is possessed.
You see the Xbox Kinect? Have you ever seen those where you move your body and it has a sensor and it tells what you're doing? This guy's playing a game and he's kicking and a cat happens to run in the way. I'm not kidding. It wasn't on purpose. He's playing Kinect and the cat runs in the way and the kitty does take a little flight. It's very funny if you hate cats. Not so funny if you love them.
Okay.
So you can decide whether you want to watch that or not. This is an older country hip-hop dance video where they teach you how to put together country dancing and hip-hop dancing.
Oh, they're two great tastes that taste great together.
I think we're ready to go. Let's do some great hip-hop dancing.
And
I can just tell.
She is super cool, so you can see that.
Vaudeville.
Vaudeville! We need to start that chant.
Two steps, running man. Twist, running man. Twist. Scissors.
Whoa, hey, that just changed into something else.
Scissors!
Isn't that Lisa exercise when she was used to DJ over at KZLA or whatever?
Scissors!
Jackass does Black Swan. I don't know if you've seen this. Very funny.
So funny.
It's the voice of Johnny Knoxville. The
I want the Black Swan! Seduce us! Seduce! Attack it! Seduce! Seduce it!
A tax, a deuce, oy vey, schmear.
So that's very funny. The Empire farts back. Fart humor.
Sure.
Put into these movies.
Hi, kid. You all right? Be careful.
Be careful.
You all right?
Now, you guys remember the LeBron James commercial? Where he says, what should I do?
After he changed teams, everybody was giving him smack talk.
What should I do?
What should I do?
Should I have my tattoo removed?
Want to see my shiny new shoes?
Should I just sell shoes?
Shiny new shoes?
Ah! Or should I tell you,
I am not a role model.
So,
and that was just one of the terrible mistakes he made in that period of a couple of months when he was doing the Decision TV show, and he just did everything wrong to transition from Cleveland to Miami.
I think so, too. I think he made terrible decisions. You know, he's claiming now that it's because he's black. You guys know that, right?
Or his people. Yeah. They're coming down on
him. Oh, yeah, yeah. His people are some PR. Somebody's claiming it's because he's black. If it was a white athlete, no one would have said anything.
Oh,
it's hard being one of the few blacks in the NBA, Kevin. You have to realize you're under a lot of scrutiny. No matter what you do, people pick on you.
And finally, so this one is now a parody of that, and this is Brett Favre. Now, Ralph, you know the people that did this?
Sean Carrigan's a buddy of mine. He stars in this video as Brett Favre. He is a very funny stand-up comedian and actor, and they saw him working and said, wow, this dude would be great to star in our Brett Favre parody video, and I think he does an amazing job as Brett Favre replicating this commercial, and also it says a lot about Brett and what he's been through in the past couple of years.
What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? Should I show my to people? Want to see my penis?
Brett Favre.
Or should I tell you?
I am not a role model.
I'm a jeans model. Want to see my penis? Purple helmet. My private jet. My pubie sneak. My Peyton Man thing. My Adrian Penison. Want to see my Danny Woodhead? That's not even a joke. I just think he's a good player.
Watch him through the end, and he does a riff where he says about a dozen different names for his penis that he's texting to people.
He does a great Brett Favre.
He does. Sounds just like him, right?
It's a very funny video. You definitely should check it out.
And we also have This Week in Unnecessary Censorship with Jimmy Kimmel, which is always awesome, too. It's the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Go to KevinandBean.com.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Gretchen Blyler.
I was 11 years old when I tried snowboarding, and I loved it. Riding powder is the best feeling ever. It's just floating. There's nothing like it.
She is on top right now. She's just winning everything.
She's got inverts. She's got spins. She's got a huge bag of tricks.
And Gretchen, 720 Crippler.
Crippler is, that's sort of my signature trick, and it's a 540, so 1.5 rotations, but you're flipping as well. It's a back flip. So spinning and flipping. The half pipe doesn't care that I'm a girl. You suck, you messed up, you get thrashed. I'm Gretchen Blyler, snowboarder.
X Games gold medalist, Olympic silver medalist, and one of the true pioneers and legends in women's snowboarding. She is Gretchen Blyler.
Blyler, 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 Blyler. Winner X Games 15, Thursday through Sunday. It's here, folks. Buttermilk Mountain, Aspen, Colorado. I said Buttermilk Mountain, Aspen, Colorado. Gretchen Blyler joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Gretchen, how are you?
Hi, guys. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
No, it's a thrill to have you. We're big fans. But it's got to be so funny for you, someone, although you've been doing it for a long time, you're still very young, and people are already saying you're a legend in the sport.
Yeah, that is weird. but yeah, I have. I've been doing it for a long time, and a lot has changed since I started. But, you know, the change is it's always different, and it's always good for its different reasons.
What age did you start?
When did I start? Let's see. I moved to Aspen with my family from Ohio when I was 10, and a year later when I was 11, that's when I learned to snowboard.
That must have been a dream. You moved to Aspen.
It was a totally new experience for me. I was kicking and screaming. I didn't want to leave Ohio because I was 10 and I had all of my best friends there, and
yeah.
I didn't want to leave.
I have a lot of family in Ohio as well. It's best to leave.
But I'm so fascinated to hear you say that, because when I see the bio and I see that you moved with your family to Aspen, I just assumed that they moved there so that you could pursue snowboarding.
No,
and that's not the case at all. That's when you got into it, huh?
Yep, it is. My mom actually, my grandparents have had a place in Aspen since the 60s. So my mom sort of grew up here in the summer times as a teenager and in her 20s. And my parents got divorced, and a year later my mom decided she wanted sort of a different life for us and to grow up in a different community. So she took the kids in our Toyota Previa and
all right.
Aspen.
Beautiful.
The back and the U-Haul. And yeah, I mean, it was a big shock for me. My first day at school, I went to Aspen Country Day School, and that first week we went and climbed a 14,000 foot peak, went camping. I had never been camping in my life, let alone hiking up a 14,000 foot peak.
Wow, so that's a little different.
Yeah, a little different than
Ohio. That's amazing. Gretchen Blyler is on the phone here on the Kevin Bean Show talking about Winter X Games 15. Now, you tweeted that last night was first practice. What are the conditions like in Aspen this year for the X Games?
They're great. I mean, Aspen, you know, the community always does a great job of hosting, and then obviously the X Games always does an amazing job of throwing the event. And the half pipe is great. I know Frank Wells cuts it, who's one of the best half pipe cutters in the world. So it's a great shape, and I think he's going to keep dishing it, which in the half pipe you dish the flat bottoms to make it bigger, the walls and the transitions bigger and bigger.
Right.
So by competition day, the thing is just going to be perfect.
Now, what you win with last year doesn't work this year because everybody has progressed so far. Do you have things up your sleeve that people don't know about?
I do.
Yeah.
You can't show up to X Games and do the same stuff that you did last year. That's why the X Games are so amazing. It's the time to showcase the progression and to go for it. It's not a conservative event.
That is crazy because all other sports, NBA, NFL, they do the same thing. They do it well. But there doesn't have to be that.
They don't reinvent the game every couple of years. Exactly. Yeah. We were talking
that's
to your
fun too.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. Every time you go, it's a whole new experience for you. Absolutely. We were talking to your friend Sal Masekela on the show yesterday, who we love him so much, and of course he's going to be behind the mic for Winter X Games 15 starting Thursday. And we brought up that we were every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, we were having a different athlete on from the X Games. Here's what Sal had to say about you, Gretchen. We want to get
that
you back.
Gretchen Blyler is well. First of all, she's a biscuit.
Yeah.
you got to love her.
She's a biscuit.
She's a biscuit, Sal said.
Gretchen, it's so funny. I went to YouTube and I was watching some videos of you snowboarding. And then you read the comment.
What is a biscuit?
Well, I assume it sounds to me like it's quite a compliment. I think that's Sal's way of saying how unbelievably hot you are.
Yeah.
He's great.
You're a biscuit. Just accept it. Move on. Right. So I'm looking at you on YouTube and you're doing your run and stuff. And then all the comments below are about how hot you are. And then about every sixth or seventh one is like, hey, let's talk about her snowboarding. And then the rest of them are like, yeah, but she's pretty hot. So you kind of got both working for you, which I think is good. When is your event this weekend? When can we see you snowboard?
The women's snowboard superpipe final is this Saturday, live at 7:45 Mountain Time, p.m.
7:40, so that'd be 6:45 Pacific.
Okay. Yep.
Okay.
And it's live on ESPN and ESPN 3D.
Oh,
nice.
Very so nice. Get out your 3D TVs.
24 hours of live HD programming on ESPN, ESPN 2, and ESPN 3. I mentioned this yesterday when we were talking to Sal. The beautiful thing about the X Games is there are highlights we'll never forget. We just don't know what they're going to be yet. That's the beauty of your sport and others at the Winter X Games. I can't wait to see what the weekend holds for us. Gretchen, great to finally have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Congratulations on all your success. Good luck this weekend. Thank you.
Thanks so much, guys.
Six 6.7 K-Rock
is... I give in
K-R-O-Q.
To sin.
It is. Right, Ralph.
And it is 7:56.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk to Kevin and, more importantly, Candace from Attack of the Show on G4 coming up next half hour. Also, Lars Ulrich from Metallica with big, big news. That's all straight ahead on the Kevin and Bean Show, too, right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Tuesday. What's happening?
Oh, all everybody's talking about is these Oscar nominations. A lot of fighting on the Twitter, a lot of fighting on Facebook, people angry.
Well, there's some surprises, that's for sure.
Battling furiously, just going crazy.
Wondering what's Winter's Bone?
What's Animal Kingdom? People scratching their heads this morning. Here are your big nominations for the 83rd Annual Academy Awards, which will be airing Sunday, February the 27th on ABC. Best Picture, 10 nominees this year. Again, Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, The Kids Are All Right, The King's Speech, 127 Hours, The Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, and Winter's Bone. Those are your big Best Picture nominees. For Best Director, Darren Aronofsky for Black Swan, David O. Russell for The Fighter, Tom Hooper for The King's Speech, David Fincher, Social Network, and Joel and Ethan Coen for True Grit. A lot of people up in arms that Christopher Nolan got passed over for Inception, and I think they've got a legitimate beef.
That's true. That's true. That was an
remarkably well-directed film.
It was, yeah. It was amazing.
Best actor, Javier Bardem for Beautiful, but it's spelled like all funky. Yeah. It's like an all funky spell.
That's a, I think it's a foreign film.
Foreign movie. It's a Mexican.
Foreigners.
And then the subtitle.
Learn how to freaking write English. Something. It's Beneful. Yes, it's a dog food. It's a dog food. Jeff Bridges for True Grit. Spelled the good old-fashioned American way, by the way. Jesse Eisenberg for The Social Network. Colin Firth for The King's Speech. And James Franco for 127 Hours. Best actress, Annette Bening. The kids are all right. I didn't even know she was in The Who. And yet, here she is.
No, no, no. That's this is not, a different...
I
a
saw movie the movie. Called, it's about yeah, The
this,
Who.
No, no.
I saw
about,
it.
Not this
it's
one.
About lesbians, not about The Who.
Oh. Nicole Kidman, Rabbit Hole. Jennifer, that's not about lesbians? Come on. These titles are too confusing. Jennifer Lawrence, Winter's Bone.
That now that's about heterosexuals.
No, it's not. Surprise, surprise.
Hmm.
Oh.
Natalie Portman, Black Swan.
That's what I'm talking
not
about.
Not a swan in the movie, by the way.
She's
there's
a swan.
There's not a swan in the film.
There may not even be a black guy in the movie
that's
either,
right.
by the way.
Michelle Williams, Blue Valentine. Best Supporting Actor, Christian Bale for The Fighter, John Hawkes. For his role in Winter's Bone, Jeremy Renner for The Town, Mark Ruffalo, The Kids Are All Right, Jeffrey Rush, King's Speech, and Best Supporting Actress, Amy Adams, The Fighter, Melissa Leo, also from The Fighter, Helena Bonham Carter for The King's Speech, Haley Steinfeld for True Grit, and Jackie Weaver for Animal Kingdom. Oh, I tried to get into Animal Kingdom the other day. I couldn't. Line was around the block. Could not get in to see
that's
Animal
the same
Kingdom.
Thing.
Before I were talking about movies, I've got passes to give away. Very special passes to the very special Kevin and Bean special advanced special screening of Sanctum.
A lot of specials.
If you have seen the trailers for this, you know it looks very intense. It's brought to you by James Cameron. He's the executive producer of this film. It is an epic underwater adventure featuring spelunkers.
Yeah!
And underwater raging waters and cave diving and caverns. And it just looks very claustrophobic and it makes me sweat. Looks good. Sanctum opens everywhere on Friday, February the 4th. You'll get to see it before anybody else on Wednesday, February the 2nd. If you're one of the first five callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. I'll move you, by the way, in 3D, which makes it even more spectacular.
Sure.
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'm pretty interested. All right, moving on.
Not what I meant.
Spencer Pratt's in the news. Thank
yes,
God.
Yes, finally he's back.
God,
where's he been?
I don't know, but I was starting to get worried.
I missed him.
He's stretching. He's expanding his over, if you will.
What's there to expand?
You know, his career. He's using all of his talents now.
Okay.
He's finally giving us some of his rap music.
Oh, good.
And, you know, he comes from the streets. So when you think about what the subject matter should be, you think, naturally, chicken wings.
What?
Don't you?
No.
Here's a little taste.
Really?
I have to forward to him rapping because it's bad.
Money in the media changed on him, so we got some more money and made it rain on him. Crazy the range runs in my veins. Money ain't a thing, nothing but a chicken wing. Call me Mr. KFC, S.P. in the flesh. They forgot about Drake, they say I'm the effing best. Leave for a minute, count the bread and I'm back. Go against the grain, count the eggs for the hatch.
Ain't no thing but a chicken wing.
Forget about they forgot about Drake. They told him he's the best.
Effing best.
Yes.
Right.
That's how old school is. He edits himself, so you don't even have to bleep him. I'm the effing best, you GD bastards.
That's a terrible song.
Oh, who do we, really, how do we get rid of this one? What do we do?
Jack LaLanne is dead. Spencer Pratt's still alive.
He's imploding, don't worry.
I want him to explode.
I
don't want him to implode.
Either
I want
way.
To get a quarter stick of dynamite and some Astroglide. And I would like to prepare Spencer Pratt and then light the fuse. That's what I would like to do.
Well, I'm with you on that.
I wouldn't have time to talk about Corinne Bailey Rae's new CD.
Oh, that's too bad.
Aww. Yeah.
What a shame.
Next
we'll
hour.
Do that next hour.
She's got a new EP that comes out today, and Mine Is Yours by Cold War Kids also. A new CD today, but Corinne Bailey Rae, one of my favorite artists, and I know Kevin
one of Kevin's
loves her.
Favorites too. Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin, in fact, I remember at the Grammys when Kevin was brought in as the announcer.
Stall as long as you want. I don't think we're going to get it.
We just don't have time.
He was the one who said he wanted to play.
I got it now. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
I was announcer for the Grammys.
And then you had to talk about Corinne Bailey-Ray.
Corinne Bailey-Ray. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey-Ray. Wow. Corinne Bailey-Ray. An unforgettable moment with Let's do it again.
Why don't they call me anymore, Ralph?
I don't know. I have no idea.
It's weird.
Alicia Keys celebrates her 30th birthday today. Anna Ortiz is 40, and Etta James is 73. It was worth making a little extra time.
Yes, absolutely.
It was.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. We have a very action-packed hour straight ahead. We'll introduce our guests in a moment. But first, Lars Ulrich from Metallica joins us in about 25 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show to discuss the big announcement moments ago of the Big Four, the show that you salivated over when you heard it was playing Britain and the rest of Europe. The show that you went out and bought the DVD for is now coming to the United States. The Big Four. Kevin, tell the kids who's on the Big Four show.
Just Metallica and Slayer and Megadeth and Anthrax.
Yeah!
Oh, second Mike.
Wow, Mike.
How are you still dry, Mike, when you hear that lineup?
All together.
Why do you assume that?
He's not dry.
I'm not dry. I've got a wetsuit on underneath my clothes.
Now, as of now, and we'll press Lars for information in a few minutes, this is the first and only United States show. And that's bull, right?
Well, I mean, who knows? It's hard to get those four bands together, don't you think?
Right, but you don't get them together to put a show together and just play one.
Look,
right?
We're being told first and only U.S. show. It's Saturday, April 23rd at the Empire Polo Club in Indio, California. That's where the Coachella Valley Festival is.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Saturday, April 23rd, tickets go on sale this Friday, January the 28th at 10 o'clock. Okay, so this is going to be the best show, for metal heads you'll ever see. Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax on one stage, one show. It's the Big Four. Get details at kevinandbean.com. We'll talk to Lars in just a few minutes. Hey, how about Attack of the Show's hosts Kevin Pereira and Candace Bailey?
Hey. 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 More importantly, whoa. Candace Bailey.
Most importantly.
The hell
said that? Who said that? I heard that.
Kevin got really upset about that.
I did. I threw a folding chair.
No one noticed.
On my head.
Kevin from Attack of the Show, not Mike Kevin. I want to know why you bothered to come in today. Not necessary.
I ask myself that every morning when I wake up. Like, why do I bother breathing? Why do I bother moving? And it's really just to support Candace Bailey so the world can see her majesty.
Candace, you need some coffee or something? Because Kevin can go get it.
I got my glasses. Okay, all right. Just checking.
Car's clean, Miss Bailey. Anything else?
Candace, we'll throw you some softball questions later, Kevin, but let me start with Candace. How long have you been Kevin's co-host on Attack of the Show on G4?
Officially 2 weeks and a day.
Wow, now you were doing fill-in, of course, before that, and then you got the official nod 2 weeks ago.
And then I was sent on my vision quest where I had to do many difficult things to get ready for my job, but officially 2 weeks and a day.
Okay. Now, I have to ask, because obviously the Olivia Munn kind of helped put that show on the map and certainly introduced a lot of us to it. Is it a daunting task following in the footsteps of somebody like that, or do you feel like it's pretty easy to leave that behind and do your own thing?
Well, I think it is, but at the same time, I'm just bringing, I think, a different vibe to it. I'm just bringing myself, which is a little different than Olivia, but...
But both good.
I help.
Both good. Why am I the only one clapping? Come on.
And Kevin, you're just the luckiest some bitch in show business, right?
As Twitter would say it, I really am. I really am. I tripped and fell into an amazing gig surrounded by really hot, talented, capable people.
Let me just say that we're the lucky ones, because Kevin is amazing.
Oh, look at this. Why am I the only one clapping?
What the hell is wrong in here?
I can guarantee you I don't watch that show for him. Yeah. Nothing personal.
However, Kevin is an amazing host.
Being insulted with a WAV file
is still being insulted. We have a lot of soundboards over there.
And by the way, it's hard to believe. I don't want to know these people, but there are people who don't know about or watch G4. Your show is enormously successful. I mean, in terms of cable ratings, you guys are one of the biggest things on television, right?
So say the skewing analysts. Yes. No. We have a huge, huge, huge following. It's really weird. Our audience
minus DirecTV.
Yeah.
Don't get me bummed out.
Yeah. Now that's a bummer that will likely be resolved if anybody has their way. But at the end of the day, our audience, you know, the traditional methods of let's measure this audience by a Nielsen box, which is a sort of antiquated system. Our audience doesn't have that. They're watching online. They're watching on iPods. They're watching everywhere. So I like to think we are the most watched television program in the history of television.
Okay.
There's no way to validate that statement.
There's no data supporting it. But you also, maybe you can't dispute it either.
Exactly. So there it is. It's been said.
I downloaded it on iTunes. That's how I get it.
Fantastic.
Would that count?
We see $0 from that.
But, good.
And right. Zero ratings. But
that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a bummer.
But Kevin started downloading it on iTunes, and I'm sure a lot of other people have, because he's a DirecTV subscriber, and it's been unavailable to us for the past few months.
As was I.
By the way, that's BS. I'm going so much further out of my way to watch that show. How do you not get money, and how does it not count?
I'm shocked people are willing to change the channel to get to our program.
That's all they have to do.
You're willing to crawl and kick and scream to watch any of this crap.
Pay for it and download it. You know what I mean? And I don't count.
Well, thank you for that, though. And you should count.
We have some very interesting things on our show.
We do.
Like this past week, we won the world record for largest tea bag.
I didn't see largest
tea bag.
150 pounds.
Wow.
Wait, Sarah Palin weighs that much.
Nice.
Not tea bagger. The largest tea bag. Although I was a tea baggy, I did have it dipped on my chin.
No,
it's true. Wow. It did happen. And then today we will be having Mistress January in studio to put us through some shock therapy.
Oh, good.
Really? Yeah, for the electro fetishists out there. And I'm sure there are many in this audience.
Oh, that's fantastic. That sounds awesome. Yeah. I love that.
To see who can hold up the most, right?
Where do they attach the shock?
It's like, apparently it's a wand.
Matters. Huh?
It's a wand, apparently. Yeah, like a shocking baton. And I don't know if that's meant for...
But I'm saying for you. And there are places where you don't want it.
That's exactly where it's going on Kevin.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I mean, you say you don't want it, and then there's a wink and a nod. But that's worth downloading on iTunes, right?
Hey, is your show available for people to see in 3D? It sure seems like any show on television that ought to be available in 3D is yours.
No, we're barely high def. I think we're up-res. We're the most tech-centric show on the internet, but we're shot with a flip cam.
I actually did do a lot of my packages with flip cams.
Of course. Yeah, they're actually awesome. Pretty awesome cameras, but no, we are not 3D, and I don't mind not being 3D. I don't want to convince anybody out there.
But Candace,
right? Well, I don't know that you need to see me in 3D.
All right,
we're seeing you in 3D right now, and we're enjoying it. So why don't you think we wouldn't? It's so funny though, because your show is leading edge. I mean, you guys talk about stuff. You know, it's invented, and then 5 minutes later, it's on your show first. You know, it seems like you ought to be leading the way on this 3D revolution. It's like when you go to Best Buy and they have the world's crappiest, oldest, and slowest computers when they're trying to ring you up. It just doesn't make any sense.
Right. Well, I don't want to be the reason anybody upgrades to 3D. I mean, I don't think anybody...
You wouldn't be.
To be any reason someone would upgrade to 3D. As gorgeous as Candace is in the extra third dimension, it's a terrible technology right now, and no one should be wasting their money on it.
We're talking about Attack of the Show, of course, which airs weeknights at 7 on G4. Then you can catch reruns after that. Kevin Pereira is here. Candace Bailey is here. They are the hosts of said show, and we will return with them right after this on the Kevin... Just announced on the Kevin and Bean Show, the Big Four, Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax. This is new information for you today. They are coming together for their first and only U.S. show Saturday, April 23rd at the Empire Polo Club in Indio, California. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10. We'll talk to Lars, drummer for Metallica, coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show, as he insists on calling it.
Yes.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, the beautiful Candace Bailey, the perfectly serviceable Kevin Pereira, both in our studio today. They are the co-hosts of
moderately talented
Attack of the Show on G4. By the way, Mr. Pereira, thank you for dialing us up early from the G4. You did a great job.
From the CES?
From CES?
CES, yeah. Excuse me. You did a great job recapping that for us. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that was hard. There was a whole lot of vodka in my veins during that call. So I appreciate you bearing with me on that one.
Were you in the hangover stage or the still drunk stage?
I was concerned about being hungover for the interview, but thankfully I powered through.
Good.
I got back to the hotel room. Head hit the pillow, alarm went off, and I was like, all right, let's do it drunk.
All right.
We'll get it done.
Oh, wow.
Let's talk 3D TVs. Well, I appreciate it.
You work well drunk.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask you, Candace, because I saw something, maybe it was on your website, but did you go to Skywalker Ranch or go to George Lucas's house or do something cool like that?
I went to Skywalker Ranch. It was actually part of my vision quest in getting ready for the show.
Oh, really? I thought you were joking about that.
Oh, no.
We really put her through a vision quest.
They made me do
crazy things.
Although that's awesome.
Yeah, Skywalker Ranch was the best thing ever.
She got to play Girl Talk with George Lucas. Ice cubes under the armpits and zit stickers and everything. It was amazing.
George Lucas! No, I got to actually put on a mocap suit and become Iron Man. Which was really amazing. Except for I made him a very girly.
Yeah, you made him a dainty metal figure.
I thought that was more fun.
Sexy Iron Man.
Yeah.
Tell me about your geek credentials growing up. I mean, is this the job you were born to have, or is this something you kind of came to in recent years that this is perfect for you?
I mean, growing up, I played a lot of video games, but I think more recently.
Is geek a second language then? I mean, it's not like you grew up the whole time. You learned it.
She can sit awkwardly in a corner in any setting, so she can speak geek.
Okay. All right. You know,
she's right. Well-versed in the ways of nerddom. Yeah.
And surrounded by these guys all the time.
But sure. Kevin, you're really interesting because clearly you speak the geek language and you know what they're talking about. And you can engage anybody on any topic in that world, but you also can turn it off and be a regular person too, which I respect.
Well, you know, I don't know about that.
It's all a matter of perception. But I'm a nerd, unabashedly so, in case anybody missed that. In case that wasn't extremely apparent, I am kind of a geek, but I'm moderately comfortable in social settings.
Yeah,
so
you're able to hide the geek.
I'm the vampire that can wear sunglasses and smolder a little bit outside. You know,
That's right.
I can accommodate.
Now, you've been doing the show for a long time now. Now here we are in 2011. Are there some things that you've always wanted to do that maybe this is the year, some things you've been working up toward that you're excited about that you can share with us?
You know, that's tough because there's a whole lot that I want to do. And with the $5.95 that we have left over in the show budget, that is more the limiting factor than time.
Yeah.
But I will, you know, one thing I did want to do was build a giant ski ball ramp for, I think ski ball is the next competitive sport.
I like it.
You know, think bowling ball.
Summer Olympics?
Yeah. I think bowling alley size lanes with big ramps and big scoring pods. I think we might actually, in our courtyard, build a giant ski ball.
Could we really do that?
Yeah, to do competitive ski ball.
I like it.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah. That's great.
You can start a league.
That's what I want to have happen.
You can start a professional league.
Yeah. And certain pods, you have to do shots. If you get it, you have to actually score it. Like, this should be a serious competitive adult ski ball league.
It's
going to happen. It's going to happen.
Is this your idea?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. One of many. Behind Strong. The bong resin, like somewhere lies an idea.
Is there a guest who is the holy grail of Attack of the Show? Somebody you've always wanted to have on so far, no luck?
James Cameron was one of those folks, and now he's been on the show twice. Now he's just a good old friend.
And y'all hang out and go out for froyo and all kinds of stuff, right?
Oh, totes. We get Manny Pedis and we just gab.
Wait, did you just say froyo and you just said
he
totes?
He said totes.
I said, yeah, totes.
Shoot. We're trying to get Mike to stop saying totes.
It's totes the best word ever. It's totally.
Oh!
We're taking it back.
That hurts.
Yeah, once you get the James Camerons and the George Lucases, I guess you're at the A-plus level.
Seth Rogen just came on,
he the best?
He's
really
great.
Impossibly nice and the sweetest, coolest dude in the world. Really totes is. The best.
Okay.
We're going to have to ask you to leave.
Do you use totes my goat?
Actually, Candace does, though.
You do.
Which is why I got caught on.
All right, listen. If Candace says it, then it's good. If Mike says it, it's bad. That's how I work.
Attack of the Show airs weeknights at 7 on G4. By the way, we're having your tech guru, Chris Hardwick. He's coming in later this week.
We'd love to see Hardwick.
So if you've got anything embarrassing on him, please forward it to us. We'd like that before the interview.
I have lots.
I don't yet, but...
Anything else this week you want us to know about before we have to say goodbye, guys?
Not that we can watch, but if people can watch, then what would they see?
Yeah, something you guys can download in months time.
Yes, yes.
Will be Mistress January today. If you tune in for a show, it's going to be us getting electrocuted by a dominatrix.
Awesome. I
don't know
really
why else you need to tune in.
Excited about that.
And we'll review iPhones and iPods and show videos of skateboarders.
That's
all
one
that
of
stuff.
Those things where you go, hey, this is a great idea. Let's do this. Well, and then when you start thinking about it, you go, wow, that
when the day arrives.
I'm going
to
hate you.
She already taught me how to become a dominatrix, so I went through the whole schooling of that.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, so do you get to be the taser?
No, I think I have to be tased.
You have to be
as
the
well.
Tasee.
Both
yeah.
of us. Oh. It's like to see who can stand it more.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
I love that.
You know.
Watch from my enjoying smirk.
On G4, get all the details at G4TV.com. Kevin, Candace, thanks so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you
guys.
So appreciate much it. For having us.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8:41.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. We are awaiting Lars Ulrich from the band Metallica to join us here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Apparently, producer Alex is on hold with his people right now. The announcement came earlier this hour. The Big Four coming to the United States. We heard all about this show when it was in Europe. Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax. One show, Saturday, April 23rd, the Empire Polo Club in Indio. By the way, Psycho Mike, you were into the thrash metal back in the 80s when these bands all broke through.
Yeah.
Is this a lineup that in your wildest imagination you ever could have put together on one stage?
I mean, it is without a doubt. They are the kings of thrash metal. They're the guys who really invented the whole genre. And it's for a guy my age who grew up, like you said, listening to thrash metal, this is it. This is the
and when you say this
dream
is it.
Come true, when I say this, I mean this is it. It's a dream come true that they would be playing together, and then here in Southern California, where I can actually go and check it out.
But the other thing that really struck me as odd, and maybe I missed the makeup, but Dave Mustaine being anywhere within the same zip code as Metallica, I thought he hated those dudes.
Oh yeah, and not only that, but there was a long time where Kerry King of Slayer and Dave Mustaine hated each other. He definitely built up a lot of ill will during the late 80s and early 90s with everybody in metal.
Right.
They've seemed to, I think they've all just matured.
Do they just bring him in separately?
I think they've all matured and put that stuff behind them, because they were all really young when they were touring.
Well, then
in the
it was
80s
competitive too, wasn't it?
Exactly. And you know, Dave has been open about the fact that he was in a different state of mind.
Yeah.
I mean, he was heavily using drugs and alcohol, and like I said, they've matured and kind of put it all behind him for the sake of the fans.
Did Dr. Drew get them all to live in a house together or something like that,
and
help them work through their issues?
Oh, metal celebrity rehab. Oh, my God.
Mike would go back on drugs just so we could get in there.
Please, Dr. Drew.
But I have a feeling, by the way, producer Alex got hung up on. She's calling back right now. I have a feeling that all of these bands are sober now. They've all had their wild times, and now they're out there just trying to stay healthy and keep it going as long as they can, is the impression I get. Anyway.
Slayer ain't sober.
Oh, really?
Slayer,
oh, they're not.
They sure love their
yeah, but they, out of all those bands...
They're functional.
And also, only parts of Metallica are sober. I mean, James has only been the one that's come out saying that he's, you know, put the booze and the drugs behind him. But if they're not completely sober, they're more mature. They've been able to kind of put that lifestyle behind them, more so than just be able to put the drugs and alcohol themselves behind
right.
them.
Right. Well, again, this was a show that we talked about at the time they were playing in, where was it, Bulgaria or Hungary or something like that?
Poland or someplace.
First played the Big Four show, and we said, oh my God, I can't believe that's real. And then they took it out on the road and did a handful of dates across Europe. And everybody all this time has been saying, hey, give the drummer some. How about a little love for America? And now it is happening. Again, just announced. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 o'clock. That's this Friday, January 28th. The show is April 23rd. And I think we got Lars. I think he joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Lars, how are you, man?
How about a little love for America? You know what? I am doing fine. Thanks for asking. Sorry I'm tardy. But I got caught with my son's middle school director at school drop-off this morning.
All right.
When I told him that I had to rush off and I couldn't talk to him because I had to go live on the radio, he just fired. Sorry, I'm 5 minutes late.
He doesn't care, does he?
Exactly. And I know that this is not what you guys want to hear.
No.
That I haven't slept in 3 days.
No. Look, hey, that's your real life, and we have mad respect for that. And actually, it's okay because it gave us a chance to talk about how unlikely this combination of bands on one stage would have been 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 25 years ago. Who would have ever imagined this could come to pass?
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, I think at least 10 years ago, the egos, there wouldn't have been a stage big enough to support the egos and you know, all the kind of silliness that was going on and the bickering and all that. But as people grow a couple years, I'll leave the word older out of it, but more mature,
sure.
And wiser, and some of these friendships get patched up again and kind of reinvigorated and so on. It just seemed like it was time. You know, I heard you guys say that we played a bunch of the shows across Europe last year.
How many did you play? Like 7, 8?
Yeah, I think we did about 2 weeks worth.
Okay.
About 7 or 8, something like that.
Okay.
And it was absolutely phenomenal on two fronts. I mean, you know, the fans were loving it and were obviously experiencing something that was totally next level and had not been seen before. But just as precious or maybe even more important was the fact that the vibe backstage between the bands and between, you know, all the kind of old friends and, you know, everybody, all the close to 20 musicians in the four bands, it was just so amazing. It was sort of like, I don't know, class reunion, you know? It's like,
right, right.
You now know, when friends from back in the day again and just getting a chance to kind of reignite some of those friendships. And so we had a great time. So we knew we had to bring it to America at some point.
When did you start hearing? Was it immediately, once you announced that the four bands were playing together in Europe, was it immediate that everybody in America said, hey, how about us? And everybody in South America said, hey, how about us?
I think first, at least the musicians had to see if it was going to work.
Sure.
So, you know, we didn't really know. I think we were all hoping, and it felt like the timing was right, too, because a lot of the issues had been patched up over the last couple of years, and I think that people were, you know, certainly on the Metallica front, you know, we were feeling a lot. We'd just come off the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction.
Right.
We were in a very celebratory mood and feeling pretty good about our past, and we were just ready to rekindle some of those friendships. And so when the shows got announced, there was obviously a good buzz, but, you know, it wasn't until the night before the first show was in Warsaw, Poland, and all of us met up at a restaurant the night before the first show and had a meal together. There was no managers, no minders, no assistants, no anybody.
How did you order?
It was a buffet.
Okay. Good.
What? So we were all in the same room together, and we had spent probably I'd say half an hour in that room together, I knew this was going to work because everybody was just getting along like a house on fire.
What kind of a tip does Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax leave at dinner?
That night, a very generous one.
Yeah.
Good.
Good mood. And
everybody had very big smiles on their faces.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Now, this is the voice of Lars Ulrich, by the way. You're listening to the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about the announcement made earlier this hour of the Big Four show, Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax. One U.S. show, Saturday, April 23rd. Now, that's the hiccup in this announcement. That's what takes this from an A-plus down to an A, is there's one show in all of America. How do you expect your fans to handle that, Lars?
Yeah, let's take this in baby steps here.
All right.
You know, we did, 7, 8 of them in Europe last year. We're doing one show in England, one show in France. You know, listen, we don't want to cram this down people's throats. We don't want to sort of overstay the welcome. So, and we don't know what kind of response is going to be to this in America. So we're starting, obviously, without being disrespectful to the rest of the wonderful country. You know, we have a history in Southern California. Slayer has a history in Southern California. Mustaine has a history in Southern California. So there's a lot of history in California. And we picked, you know, obviously the Coachella site where this is going down the week after the Coachella Festival is probably, maybe apart from Bono, along with Bonnaroo, the favorite festival site to go to in North America. And so I went and saw Rage Against the Machine a couple years ago out
so good.
In Coachella, and just thought it was a brilliant, brilliant place. So when the Coachella organizers asked us if we would come and play there the week after, and they would leave the scaffolding up and all that business, it just seemed like a great way to kick this off in America. And obviously if, I'll take that back. If there's enough demand for it, obviously there's a very strong possibility that there'll be more shows.
Excellent.
But gotcha.
We don't want to overextend the welcome, and we also don't want to turn it into something that becomes just this whole nostalgia trip that's going to sort of be, okay, now it's just going to be this for the next few years and you know, celebrate the past. So it's a balancing act, you know?
It'll be your farewell tour for 7 years in a row.
Hey, it worked for Cher. She's still on it. It's been going on 10 years. All right, that is exactly what we were hoping to hear, is we're excited to be coming to America. We're going to do this one show, see how it goes, see how we feel, see how the audience feels, and then we're just going to take it from there and make sure it's a win-win for everybody. That's a beautiful answer, Lars, and it's a fantastic show. What a lineup. I bought the Blu-ray when it came out in November, by the way, and here's the important thing I want to mention about that, because I learned on the Blu-ray, every band is doing a full set. This isn't like you get up there and do your 40 minutes and you're gone. It's like going to see a Slayer show and then going to see a Megadeth show and then an Anthrax show and then a Metallica show. It's unbelievable.
Well, thank you.
We can't wait, dude. And you know how much we
can't wait to come and play down in Southern California again. It's been too long.
Been a while, yeah.
So it seems like a great place to kick this off for North America. And like I said, if there's a lot of love and a lot of demand for this, then I'm sure there'll be more shows.
Fantastic. Good times. All right, Lars, we love you on the Kevin and Bean Show as always, man. Thanks for making the time for us.
Great catching up with you guys. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, man.
Bye-bye.
Take good care. News. Bye. Big Four, Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax, April 23rd, Saturday at the Empire Polo Club. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10. Thank you, Lisa. It is 8:56.
Ah! Oh, Ralph Garman, I'm so glad you're here. Wheel of Bad Animal Voices coming up after the top of the hour.
Nope.
Yeah, it's
nope.
Going to be awesome.
Nope.
Going to be awesome. First, though, time for the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Nope.
It's a horrible, horrible bit.
And by that, you mean the best we do.
83rd Annual Academy Awards will be airing Sunday, February the 27th on ABC. And this morning, they announced who's nominated for what. 10 movies were selected for Best Motion Picture nominees today. Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, The Kids Are All Right, The King's Speech, 127 Hours, The Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, and Winter's Bone.
Yeah!
That category with 10 nominees really gets padded.
It does, doesn't it?
It really does.
Can't they just do as many as they want? Do they have to say 10? Because there are going to be some years.
No, 10. It's 10 now.
I know,
it was 5, and now it's absolutely 10.
That's dumb.
It is really
dumb.
There's
some years when you do have to pad.
It is is simply pandering to try to include as many of people's favorite movies as possible so they can get as many viewers as possible to watch the show.
Yeah, it's not even about the awards. It's about the viewers of the television show.
Well, don't make the television show boring. How about that?
Because these are all good films, but there's only really, you could pick the 5 best out of those 10 pretty easily.
Absolutely.
If you wanted to. Best Director. Here's a case where 5 nominees wasn't enough. Darren Aronofsky was nominated for Black Swan, David O. Russell for The Fighter, Tom Hooper for The King's Speech, David Fincher for Social Network, and the Coen brothers for True Grit. And Christopher Nolan's left on the outside looking in for Inception, by the way.
Wow.
Which seems like a slight. Best Actor, Javier Bardem for Beautiful, or however the hell they spell it. It's all wrong.
I think it's beautiful, but it's B-I-U-I-T-I-I-T-I full.
Maybe he's bi. Maybe he's bi-utiful. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Yeah. That's
what I'm and apparently about. This is the first Best Actor nomination for a performance completely in another language.
Huh.
Foreign film.
Which I did not know.
Keanu Reeves never been nominated before? Because I can never understand what he's saying when he's in a movie.
But he's trying to speak English.
Jeff Bridges for True Grit also nominated. Jesse Eisenberg for Social Network. Colin Firth and James Franco. Also nominated for Best Actor. Best Actress, Annette Bening, Nicole Kidman, Jennifer Lawrence for Winter's Bone, Natalie Portman for Black Swan, and Michelle Williams for Blue Valentine. Best Supporting Actor, Christian Bale for The Fighter.
He's going to win, right?
I would guess so.
It's going to be between...
It's going to be between him. Well, Colin Firth is an actor. This is for supporting actor. Sorry. Christian Bale will go up against Jeffrey Rush, I believe, for King's Speech. Those are the two front runners. John Hawkes for Winter's Bone. The nominee is the award. John, just remember that. Keep telling yourself that as you head to the Oscars.
You're just liking to be nominated.
Jeremy Renner for The Town and Mark Ruffalo for Kids Are All Right. Best Supporting Actress, Amy Adams for The Fighter. And Melissa Leo also for The Fighter, who is my on-screen wife in Red State. I'm very excited for her.
Nice.
Congratulations, Melissa. Helena Bonham Carter for The King's Speech, Haley Steinfeld for True Grit, and Jackie Weaver for Animal Kingdom. Remember, Jackie, the nomination sometimes is the award.
Who?
Best Animated Picture, How to Train Your Dragon, The Illusionist, and Toy Story 3. Those are your big nominations for the Oscars this year.
By the way, congratulations to
that Toy Story gets nominated for Best Animated Movie and also for Best Movie.
Really?
I don't think so.
I don't think it makes sense.
Well, I think if you're in the Best Animated Movie category, then you should stay there.
Right.
That's where you belong. I don't think it should be.
Oh.
Because all these other films, they don't get a double dip. They don't get a double bite at the apple for Best Drama and Best Movie, or Best Comedy and Best Movie, or Best Musical and Best Movie.
Because they don't have that category at the Oscars.
No, I guess that makes sense.
That's what I'm saying. So why are you having two categories? If you have two categories, then the animated film should be in the animated category.
Or in the Best Movie, but not in both.
Right.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I don't think you should get two bites at the apple.
All right.
Seems a little greedy for those freaking little toys running around asking for stuff. Buzz Lightyear and whatnot. Really, even though the Oscars were
announced today, the nominations were announced today, all of Hollywood, really, all they're talking about this morning, is that Roger Corman has announced his next horror movie for the Sci-Fi Channel, Piranaconda. Piranaconda!
Yes. Strong. It's pretty strong.
From the team that brought you Sharktopus, Roger Corman has announced Piranaconda. They're getting screenwriter Michael McLean, who wrote Sharktopus, and Jim Wynorski, who directed Dino Croc versus Super Gator.
That was good.
And they are bringing us Piranaconda. And
are you going to be in Piranaconda? Are you going to punch it up with your dialogue?
My people are not yet in conversations about my appearance in Piranaconda, but I believe,
So, no.
It could happen, man. Corman likes me. I know that much.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. He likes my price. I know that much.
Well, I got to tell you, and you know I'm a fan anyway, but you were terrific in Sharktopus.
Oh, you're very kind.
I'd love to see you in this.
I'd like to take on Piranaconda.
I'd love to see the girl that was with you in this.
Yeah.
Forget you. I'd like
to
see her.
The former Miss USA or whatever she was.
Yeah. I'd like to see Shandy Finnessy also.
Yeah. Nice. Winter's Bone. You know what I mean? She was in that, right?
No, she was not.
Oh.
No. Today's celebrity birthdays. Alicia Keys is 30 years old today. Actress Anna Ortiz of Ugly Betty turns 40. And blues singer Etta James is 73 years old. Sad news, Bean's already called dibs on her for the death pool.
She's
not going to last much longer, which...
Only Bean would know that.
I'm sure the James family could not be more happy to celebrate that on her birthday.
I like to stay current.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, 6.7. Hey! K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:48.
Earlier today on the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, we announced the Big Four. If you've not yet heard about it, go to kevinandbean.com and find out how you can see Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax together for the first and only time so far in the United States. That's going to be Saturday, April 23rd in Indio. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10. Again, the details at kevinandbean.com. Ralph is here with the showbiz beat now. What's going on?
What? Wrong. Everyone knows the Big Four is Peter North, Tom Byron.
Right, that's a different.
Randy Spears.
Big Four.
Shane Diesel.
That's different.
That's the Big Four.
Very different.
You would pay to go see them, wouldn't you?
Big Four.
Yeah.
Very different.
Bet I would.
Time for the showbiz beat.
Blah, blah, blah. Oscars, blah, blah, blah. Nominated, blah, blah, blah. Actor, blah, blah, blah.
Good coverage.
We've been talking about it all morning.
I'm happy.
If you don't know by now,
you don't want to know.
Look it up.
You don't care. Because you would know by now.
But I will say, Ralph, I'm with you on the outrage for Christopher Nolan because who else could have directed Inception? And I think Christopher Nolan could have directed The King's Speech or The Social Network. I don't think those guys could have done his movie.
I could understand nominating Inception.
Huh?
I could understand not nominating Inception for Best Picture. More than I could understand not including Christopher Nolan as best director for this year.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm with you. Yeah.
I'm saying it. I think Inception definitely should be nominated for best picture. But even if it had gotten snubbed there, I would have said, okay, maybe there's some politicking going on. But how do you ignore the work that Nolan put into that film as director?
It was an achievement.
It's a Rubik's Cube of a film that he makes work on every level.
I can't imagine a tougher
directing job this year.
I'm glad that he got the nod for his screenplay for Inception. He deserved that as well because it was a brilliant script. But to be able to, you know, take it off the page and put it up on the screen like he did as a director, you're absolutely right. He deserved the nomination there.
Yeah. The directors who were nominated this year were Darren Aronofsky for Black Swan. And again, I think that was a remarkable job because when I walked out of the Black Swan, I was like, oh, that was basically like a Twilight Zone episode. That looked amazing because the direction was so fascinating and inventive and artistic and disturbing. I mean, really. But the story itself, she's crazy, so everything didn't really happen.
Yes, it did. She made out with Mila Kunis. I saw it.
Was like, oh, it's like a short story. There's not a lot of meat there to that movie. But literally, there's not a lot of meat there in that movie. But the direction was remarkable. Good job by that Darren Aronofsky. David O. Russell also did a great job with The Fighter. Tom Hooper for The King's Speech. David Fincher for Social Network. And Joel and Ethan Coen, True Grit. So, good stuff there. Best actor in a film, Javier Bardem for Beautiful. By the way, Bean said last time we talked about this that he was the only best actor nominated for a non-English speaking film.
Correct.
And we've since learned that he was misinformed.
How about that?
Because Roberto Benigni was nominated and won for Life is Beautiful.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Which was all in Italian.
Italian, right, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
I apologize. See the guy that jumped up on the chair?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I love you so much.
Crazy man.
America, you give to me like a bosom, like sucking from a teat.
What happened to him? Why is he
not
around?
He almost stepped out of a guy's head. Remember? Yeah. He jumped on the chair.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yes, I heard it from someone else and should not have gone with it because they were wrong, so I was
wrong.
I
hope you punch that person.
I will.
Is it one of your radio friends you're going to have lunch with?
No, it was some movie critic guy.
Is it Doorknob and Shag? Is it that morning team you're going to be hanging out
Doorknob
with?
Hey, Doorknob and Shag. You wish you could be on Doorknob and Shag.
He does.
Jesse Eisenberg from The Social Network, also nominated for Best Actor. Colin Firth for King's Speech. James Franco for 127 Hours. I cut it down to 27 hours. I couldn't watch the whole 127 hours. I just caught the last third. Best Actress, Annette Bening for The Kids Are All Right. Nicole Kidman for Rabbit Hole.
Nah.
Jennifer Lawrence for Winter's Bone.
Nah.
I think Rabbit Hole and Winter's Bone should be on a double feature someplace, don't you think?
Yes.
Natalie Portman, Black Swan, and Michelle Williams, Blue Valentine. Best Supporting Actor, Christian Bale for The Fighter. John Hawkes for Winter's Bone. Jeremy Renner for The Town. Mark Ruffalo for The Kids Are All Right. Jeffrey Rush for The King's Speech.
I'd like to say The Town was a better movie than the Oscars seems to think it was, with one nomination that I've heard all day long.
It did get
it was good.
It did get a little short shrifted there, but I think perhaps because it's kind of a genre picture, it's just sort of a caper film, you know?
Right.
It did maybe stand out amongst a pack of some really unique sort of films this year. Sadly. Best Supporting Actress, Amy Adams for The Fighter, Helena Bonham Carter for The King's Speech, Melissa Leo for The Fighter, Haley Steinfeld for True Grit, Jackie Weaver for Animal Kingdom.
Oh, he or she is good.
Yes, one of whoever that Weaver person is does good work. Best Animated Picture, How to Train Your Dragon, The Illusionist, and Toy Story. Toy Story also nominated for Best Picture, along with Winter's Bone, True Grit, Social Network, 127 Hours, The King's Speech, The Kids Are All Right, Inception, The Fighter, and Black Swan. So there are your nominees for the 83rd annual Oscars, which will air on ABC on Sunday, February the 27th. Oddly, Ricky Gervais just picked a host, which I was surprised by. I didn't think they would bring him back for that, given the Golden Globes debacle. But it is Tuesday. That means new DVDs and CDs are in stores. You can pick these up if you're so inclined. Saw, the final chapter. Seriously, this time we mean it. It's subtitled. Starring Tobin Bell and Cary Elwes is available on DVD and Blu-ray. Open Season 3, finally. We got Open Season 3. They left me hanging at Open Season 2, and I just didn't know what was going to happen with those deer and raccoons. Red. I want to get this one because I missed Red in theater.
It was good.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pick this up on Blu-ray and watch it sometime this
week. I know it doesn't help that I say it was good.
No,
but
it does not, sir. Bruce Willis and Morgan Freeman. Secretariat, starring Diane Lane and John Malkovich, is also available on DVD. Well, TV on DVD, Glee Season 2, Volume 1. I've already bought it for Omar, so no one get an idea.
All right.
Oh, man.
Shoot.
And She-Ra, the complete series of the animated She-Ra, who, of course, as you know, was He-Man's sister. She-Ra, Princess of Power. He was He-Man, Masters of the Universe.
Right.
He was She-Ra, Princess of Power.
Okay.
That's good stuff.
All right. Why do I feel like it? I hate to ask, but Mike, you masturbated to She-Ra at some point, right?
Oh, man.
Yeah. No answer, Mike?
He's shaking his head. Yeah. He did.
Doesn't work on radio when you shake your head, Mike. You gotta speak up, really.
Mike is new to the medium.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Etta James is 73, Anna Ortiz from Ugly Betty is 40, and Alicia Keys, R&B singer, turns 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We are going to tell you, we're going to take calls about surprise family members. I don't know if you saw the Oprah story, but
yeah. She
just found out that she has a stepsister, which is weird.
Cha-ching!
Half-sister, by the way.
Half-sister.
Not even stepsister. Cha-ching! Half-sister. Same mother. So you just found out that you have a family member that you were not aware of.
Winning the lottery for that broad, by the way.
Right?
Yep. Sure is.
You know how, she's got to be thinking, how do I get some of Oprah's money?
Well, she's like, look, I'm not going to go to the tabloid. I'm not going to the tabloids, Oprah, because I'm your sister. I'm on your side.
I can't
just
come out and ask for it.
Pay me.
We have Chris Hardwick in the studio. We have Adam Carolla this week in Rage. We have Mike Schultz, who's better than all of us because he lost a leg snowmobiling, and then he built his own leg as a replacement, and then he talked the X Games into putting this as a race where you have to be missing a limb to compete.
Wow.
And then he kills everybody. He's
way to even the playing field.
He's way
there.
Out ahead of everybody.
And then he created the Peanuts cartoon, too.
So it's called Adaptive Snowmobile Snowcross.
Oh, that's a BS sport. I don't care how many legs he has. That's BS.
You have to be missing a limb. I could get into the X Games if you could custom design an event based on what you can and can't do.
I'm also competing this year in the tubby Irish drunken downhill roll. I hope everyone will tune in for that event.
Come on. You have to be missing limbs. You have to have paralysis or amputations.
Oh.
To be included.
So the Iron Man, it's the Iron Lung.
So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Don't go anywhere. Kat Corbett's up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock.